about.
Can you tell me your name?
Nicholas Eastman.
Are you from Earth?
Yes, I'm from Earth.
What I'm about to tell you, Nick, you may find a bit disturbing.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
What's a doorstop?
That's a good question.
Why do you call it stoppy? Do you call your wife spousy? And your mirror other bean? What's its function? Does it keep the door closed or open? Are there clues hiding in its name? This guy's in the Hall of Fame. Now the show is going down in flames because I'm so lame.
And now,
Kevin, just like it.
Our feature presentation,
right? What,
Kevin?
Get on board, Kevin.
We haven't talked to that guy. That's funny.
It's real good.
What did we find out, Allie? You did a little
he's on Twitter. He tweets us all the time.
Oh, does he?
He apparently is the voiceover guy for the adult movie awards.
Oh, no kidding.
So might be a good guy to know, if you know what
yeah,
I'm saying.
No kidding. Wow. Well,
that I'm was talking excellent second work career.
Yeah.
What?
Mm. Right.
Oh. You see my second career as being in announcing?
Yes.
Okay.
All it's right. Not where I was
I like
going
that kind of positivity.
Okay.
It's weird. It's weird for me, Allie, maybe it is for you, that we have a guest that showed up already at 5:30 a.m.
I know, it's weird.
Like, what time was this dude even supposed to... I don't even have paperwork on this guy. Who is this guy?
Looks great, too.
I'm enjoying this 50-50 time where you work 50% of the time and
uh-huh
you're off 50%
yeah
of the time. I like it.
Yeah.
I bet
I should try it.
I feel like it
fun
rejuvenates you.
It
like,
does.
When you are here, you want to be here.
Right. And when I'm not tomorrow and the next day and the next day,
yeah,
I don't.
No.
So
but
it all
least
works better.
But at least then we'll have Tuesday. We'll be able to go, yeah, but Tuesday was fun, right?
Oh, remember the Tuesday times?
Tuesdays.
That's the name of my book. Remember Tuesdays?
Oh.
Well, we're glad to see you. And you confused a lot of people yesterday.
Good.
But we just told him, you know, he just likes to keep us off balance. That's all. You know, we don't – and
wait,
we
you're
just,
saying I confused a lot of people yesterday?
You confused a lot of people.
It's strange. Yeah.
And I think the best part is there's little or no notice when you don't come in. And that's good because that keeps us, your coworkers, off balance as well because we don't find out until the last minute.
Right. You don't want me to do it differently, do you?
Right. Well, yeah. Don't give us any kind of heads
okay
up.
Okay. So I'm like doing that the right thing?
Doing mm-hmm the right thing.
Okay.
Hey, speaking of doing the right thing, welcome to an all-new Kevin DeBean show here for a Tuesday. It's the
12th?
Of April. I don't know. Look, everybody has social media now, so it seems like there are lots of ways to get your message out if you are the type of person who feels like you have a lot to say. But for some reason, lately, it seems like, you know, restaurants are where everybody's leaving notes on their bills now. You know, like that story a couple of weeks ago about the waitress who didn't get a tip because she had pink hair. Remember the guy wrote on the thing, tips are for normal people. Remember that? And then there was that story this week about the guy, instead of putting someone's name on a Starbucks cup, put diabetes, here I come. I mean, everybody's got to like make a statement now for some reason with their restaurant visits. And I don't, what's that about, do you think?
I don't know why the receipt has become where you leave your message.
Right. People just cannot resist the urge to have an opinion and share it with someone.
I don't
somebody
think I've ever written an opinion.
No.
On a receipt.
And it's the height of cowardice. You're leaving it and leaving.
Mm-hmm. And you mean, run and
on
then you hope to be in your car by the time they find it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I think you're right about that, Allie. This this story has a little bit of a different twist because this is a waitress who got a letter in the mail. The mail, by the way, is a thing. You know what paper is, right? A piece of paper.
Okay.
You used to take a piece of paper and then you'd put it into what was called an envelope, which is a thing that will secure the piece of paper, and then you drop it in a box or to, you take it to a building in your town with postage on it. You have to pay to send it?
No, none of it's ringing a bell.
I know, it's crazy. Well, so this lady's working at a restaurant, and she gets a letter in the mail from a customer of hers from earlier in the month. And here's what the letter says, and this is really going to surprise you guys. Trisha, I was in for dinner last Friday night with my wife, sister, and brother-in-law. You were our server, and we had a fabulous meal.
And what happened to my goddamn coffee?
For some reason, perhaps rushing out to get to a show, I miscalculated your tip and ended up shortchanging you. I left you $16.50 on a $132.30 bill. I don't know what made me think of it, but I went online and I checked my American Express account, which confirmed my error. I'm so sorry. It was purely an oversight. As I said, the meal was great. Your service was perfect. The rest of the evening went well, too. We had a great time at our show. Hopefully, the $15 in clothes make things right. I just hope it finds its way to you. Many thanks and apologies. And that was the note that she got from a customer.
But she died the day before.
No. She was still alive, and she still received it. And she
would have been a great ending.
It's a happy ending.
It would have been a much better ending.
So I just want to ask, first of all, how awesome is it that that lady did that? But who would take that extra step of the tip kind of bothers me, so I'm going to go online and I'm going to check the amounts, and then I'm going to go to the trouble to sit down and write and send this money back? Like, I think most people, what would happen is they'd think about, hey, you know what? I did the math wrong on that. Next time I go into that restaurant,
right,
I'll hand that lady a little extra money.
Or maybe even I go back there tonight.
Right.
Right.
You know, so you
exactly
can look her up.
But instead of sitting down and doing this and sending it off, I just think that's pretty cool.
We don't have very many
stories where people do nice things.
Yeah.
But this is a stand-up customer who did
nice things involved with the U.S. mail.
Well,
which also appeals to being mostly.
Exactly. That is a thing still, right?
Yep.
By the way, Kevin, since you've been out, postage went down. Did you know
did
that?
Did it really?
It did.
How about that?
It did. I did not know
that.
That's not a joke.
It went down, what, 2 cents?
I thought it was only one, but maybe it's two. I think it's only one. But yeah, postage went down for the first time in a long time. So.
Do we get money back on forever stamps?
No.
Great question.
Forever stamps are just whatever they are. Hmm. Sorry to say.
Like forever?
It's not quite. Yeah. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean, shall we?
Speak now. Or forever hold your peace.
Okay. Wow.
David Anders is going to be in studio today.
I love him.
Plays Blaine on iZombie.
He's so good.
Love him as well. He was Alias, right, for a long time?
Yeah. He was Sark.
Love him so much.
Yeah.
We also have Greg Fitzsimmons, comedian, in studio. Very excited to talk to him.
Allie's best friend in the whole world.
Love him so much.
Is he your best friend in the whole world?
Well, we talked for about 8 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for Bean, though.
Oh, that, yeah.
Best friend in the whole world.
Pretty much.
Makes sense. We also have tickets for the LA Clippers playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
We have Beer Mug. That boy can tell a story.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy can really tell a story, that Beer Mug, to a room full of poker players.
On a microphone?
On a microphone.
And you were subject to that at the Guy's Night Out the other night.
Yep.
Right.
And he goes on and on and on. And this guy, Bean, it's the exact same thing as why you hate when people tell jokes.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Because you just can't get it right.
Right.
And so then it's not funny at all. And then he's confused. Then he starts over a couple times.
Well, at least he can read the crowd and know to stop.
I'm sorry. You're talking about Bean or Mugs?
Either.
Right. So we got that coming up as well. And you're running out of time for Coachella. Got your 3-day passes for Coachella on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Hey!
Nope.
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 That was
not
great.
A hey. That's not a hey. That's not nope. A song that lends itself to hey.
Me nope.
Hey keeps the party going. That song is not a party. All right?
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
In for Ralph Garman with our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday is Ellie McKay.
You guys, happy National Grilled Cheese Day?
Yeah, I enjoy a grilled cheese.
You're okay with it?
With a knife and fork, yeah.
Oh, man.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Totally. That's
even if it's not like oozing out the sides, you still are going to cut into it?
No, that's a messy food. You don't want to
messy.
You don't want to pick. You don't want to pick that up with your hands, man.
Next it's bread.
You know, it's butter, it's grease, it's cheese. There's a lot of things that could go wrong with that.
What kind of a slob are you?
I'm not at all.
Food all over your body and stuff.
I'm not a slob
at all. Pick up a sandwich and eat it.
Especially since I use the knife and fork, I don't ever have to worry about that.
Asshole.
I'm not sure that's true. But the reason I had to pause for a second is because we used to really go all in on National Grilled Cheese Day, and I think Ralph is the one who killed it. I think Ralph is the one who hated it so much he destroyed our enthusiasm for the holiday. Because remember, we used to have the guys come by and everything?
Yeah.
With grilled cheese, and we used to love it and really like look forward to National Grilled Cheese Day.
But yeah, then, it wasn't good radio, but they made some good sandwiches.
Great sandwiches.
Right. Yeah.
But then Ralph poo-pooed all over it, so now it's,
and it
it's
wasn't
kind,
as
of a,
good.
Kind of a sore subject. Yeah.
Oh, well, Chip, happy Equal Pay Day.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's also happy Equal Pay Day. You wouldn't know because happy National Grilled Cheese Day is trending number
is.
One. Equal Pay Day
getting
is
getting all the headlines.
Down. It's all very, very sad.
I think America's making the right choice out of those two.
Sure you do. Here's a little showbiz news just for Bean. It's been rumored for quite some time now, but Downton Abbey creator Julian Fellowes said a sequel to the series could be turned into a movie.
Yes, please.
Exciting. How exciting. He told the New York Daily News he's working on plot lines for a movie, although he hasn't been writing any scripts yet. Now, does it lend itself to a movie?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there are lots of storylines and lots of great you know, characters, a lot of places they can go. I think the series ended in 1925, so there's a lot they can do. They haven't even gotten to the Depression yet.
Right.
Oh, wouldn't that make for a
it's
fun movie?
It's going to be a great movie.
I love Depression movies. They are lovely. And here's a little something for Kevin.
Yes.
You obviously have your tickets already for Fast 8.
Of course.
I don't know what's coming
like
out.
Like I do.
2 years.
I bought a lifetime membership.
Did you?
Yeah,
for
they just
all the Fast and Furious
movies. As long as they make them.
I like it. Well, a new casting has been made. Scott Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's son, has just been added to the cast. He broke the news on Instagram and calls the series a legacy and can't wait to join. He will be playing underneath his personal hero, Kurt Russell.
Oh.
Kurt
wow.
Russell.
All right.
And Scott Eastwood.
These movies are legitimate now, you guys.
Right?
And remember Charlize Theron, we've already heard announced as
yes.
well.
Yes. Scott Eastwood.
Right?
That's some good stuff.
See what's
who's
happening.
With me? Why am I talking like Kevin right now? Very strange. We heard last week about the National Lampoon co-founder, Douglas Kenny, his life story being made into a movie, a futile and stupid gesture. Right now, Will Forte will be playing the lead in that movie. And Variety says that Natasha Lyonne is in final talks to be one of the first writers hired at National Lampoon.
All right.
I'm in for that.
Right. And Joel McHale as Chevy Chase.
Yes.
That
it's
could
just
be very
good. It's just good stuff. We talked yesterday, Kevin, about the MTV Movie Awards because our friend Jensen Karp was one of the writers on it and wrote a fantastic rap that The Rock did with Kevin Hart. What was it about? Bean, do you remember?
Yeah, it was called Leo F. DeBear.
Leo F. DeBear. And basically talking about where were you when you found out that Leo F. DeBear.
Do we have a clip of that, Chip? Could you pull that up if we...
So now we're here in 2016 to celebrate movies that you've actually seen.
Matt Damon up space, alone, super pissed.
I'm going to have to science the death of this.
Force Awakens was a real good flick, but that dude from Girls was kind of a dick.
And Leo got... by a bear, oh yeah, and Leo got by a bear. You'll always remember where you were when Leo got by a bear.
I love
not
that so
bad,
much.
Right? Well, I'm sad to report that only 3.5 million viewers Sunday night saw that. Which you think, okay, maybe that's not that bad.
Right.
But considering they were on 9 networks. That's MTV,
nine.
Comedy Central, VH1, BET, MTV2, CMT, TV Land, VH1, Classic, and Logo. Was it on all of those at the same time?
I think it might have been. I think
wow.
that might be the plan, yeah.
I feel like maybe the numbers should be bigger.
Well, you and I talked about it yesterday, Allie, that no one cares about the MTV Movie Awards.
No, but they get such big stars.
They do get such big
stars. Everyone's there.
That's the only thing people watch for is the stars.
Yeah.
Nobody's like, oh, come on, come on, Best Kiss, come on.
Well,
no
you know
cares.
Who won that.
Leo and the Bear.
There was no kissing involved.
Oh, really?
That was straight in.
Bummer.
Boom. Let's move on. All of these stars were born today, April the 12th. Actor Ed O'Neill is 70. Black belt, by the way. Jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, sure, you don't
dude
tell me.
Dude will throw you down. Actor Andy Garcia is 60. Former TV show host David Letterman is 69. Shannon Doherty is 45. Coldplay bassist Guy Berryman is 38. Actress Jennifer Morrison, 37. Actress Claire Danes, 37. Panic at the Disco singer Brendan Urie is 29. Brooklyn Decker, model actress, is 29. And actress Saoirse Ronan is 22. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
LA Clippers fans, hang on. About 20 minutes, we'll ask you to call in to win your tickets to see them in Game 2 of the 2016 playoffs. As a, last I heard, Kevin, we did not know what night the game was going to be or who they were going to play, because the season's not over yet, and they don't have all the matchups ready to go yet. But you do get to see Clippers basketball. That is coming up later this hour. First, though, how about a little Bean Makes Us Guess?
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya,
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Yes.
I again would like to question how necessary some of those sound bites are for this particular feature.
Because... all very useful and well placed.
All right.
Why would you say who gets penis slapped? Under what circumstance would that have come up?
I don't remember what the conversation was.
All right.
Kevin is here making a rare monkey like appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show. Beer Mug, you're going to be sitting in today. And awesome. Allie McKay. I got to tell you, and I don't think I've ever said this in all the years we've been doing Bean Makes This Guess. I believe this is Kevin's category. I think this
is the one.
I hate it
when you say that.
No, I'm serious. I don't know that I've ever predicted you to win. There are sometimes, like if it's a hip-hop category, I think Allie's going to win it. You know, a certain kind of question, I feel Ralph is going to win. If it's food-related, I know Beerbug's got it. Kevin, this is you. Are you ready?
Yep.
The actors and actresses who most consistently appear in terrible movies is the category. The actors and actresses who most consistently appear in terrible movies. These are all stars you've known. The actor or actress must have performed in at least 10 movies. At least one of the films has to have grossed at least $30 million or more at the box office. And at least one of the films had to be within the last 5 years. So these are all semi-active performers. So these are stars who continually make movies that are very poorly reviewed. The critics hate them. Sometimes they become huge hits, but the critics never like them. So, Kevin, tell me this isn't right in your wheelhouse.
Well, I mean, these are the movies that I watch. Yes.
These are the movies.
That's what you're saying.
I guarantee you've seen every movie that every one of these actors
Probably.
Has been in. So we're going to try to establish the top 10, and you are up first, Kevin, for Bean Makes Us Guess.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage is a fantastic guest who did not make the top 10.
Wow.
I'm sorry. He was number 15 on this list. His movies have been reviewed 40% negatively, 35% mixed. He's only had 25% positive reviews in his career. Great guest, though. Beer Mug.
Gotta go. A doobie doo. Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler is number 2 on the list. Yeah,
woo!
Absolutely.
Right. Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves is a big N.O., I'm sorry to say.
Ooh.
Rob Schneider.
Number one. Number one.
Oh, no!
Rob Schneider, and he can thank Adam Sandler because they've made so many movies
How
together.
How is he ahead of, though?
He's made a lot more movies. He's 69% negatively reviewed.
Wow.
And 31% mixed. He's had zero positive reviews. Rob Schneider movies. Zero. So Rob Schneider, number one. Adam Sandler, number two. Well done. Mugs are up.
Tyler Perry.
Tyler Perry?
What kind of a guess is that?
No. Let me hear.
Tara Reid.
Good guess. No.
Come on.
Kevin James.
Number four, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Number four.
Kevin's
I told you. I told you this was Kevin's category. All he has to do is go, what have I seen lately? Kevin James comes in at number four. Well done. All right. You keep it square, right, Allie?
Yes.
What's the score, please, right
Kevin
now?
2, Mugs 1, me zip.
All right.
I think I'm going to come ahead or tie it at least right here. Ben Affleck.
How
dare
no.
you?
Your guesses are terrible, Mugs.
Come on, Geely and stuff?
I'm not saying he hasn't had some bad movies, but again, you're talking about a body of work, a career. He generally has been in pretty good movies.
Come on, Geely and stuff?
Out of the case.
I don't agree with this, but some might. Seth Rogen?
No.
Come on!
None of these names will surprise you. I know it seems tough, but there are a lot of people you're missing who are consistently in terrible movies.
Kevin,
dig deep here, man.
Kevin Smith.
No.
No, I'm just kidding.
Curiously. That was a legitimate guess.
No, it was not, really. But go ahead.
Beer Mug.
Let's do John Travolta.
No. You're terrible at this.
Damn it. This Allie is McKay. Hard.
Ian Ziering.
No. You're just naming people in Sharknado now.
I really am.
That's all you're doing. You got to think bigger than that. All right, let's go around a couple more times, and then I'll reveal who else is in the top 10. So you guys have only gotten number 1, number 2, and number 4 out of the top 10 so far. Kevin Ryder.
Christopher Walken.
No. Muggsy.
This is hard. Oh, boy. Wahala Ho.
I don't know that person.
What was Hala Ho in?
I'm going to go ahead and say, oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No. Allie McKay.
Dane Cook.
No. All right, one more round.
This is hard, guys.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage.
You already named that, and he came in at number 15, I'm sorry to say.
I don't know. I got nothing.
Me neither.
All right. Are you guys out?
Yeah.
All right.
So, wait. Hold on, though. Do I win?
Yes, you
Woo!
Do.
Yes! Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin is the winner. Here's the top 10. Number 10, Jason Statham.
Oh, I was going to guess 10. That.
No, you
Shut up.
You might as well say that for all of them, Bugs, because you did. Number 9, I'm shocked you guys didn't think of Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen, who's been in one turd after another. Gerard Butler at number 8.
That's stupid.
Why is that stupid? He's been in so many bad movies.
Has.
Yeah, he did 300, right.
He did
almost,
300.
Almost everything else he's done has been terrible. Hayden Christensen, number 7. Cuba Gooding Jr., number 6. Huh. Taylor Lautner, number 5. Remember that 1 year where he had three huge movies in a row that were just couldn't have been worse?
Zac Efron!
Then Kevin James was number 4. And number 3, the only other one you guys missed was Ashton Kutcher. Ashton Kutcher
wow.
came in
oh,
number
sure.
3. Then Sandler, then Schneider. So there you go. That's the actors who have consistently appeared in the worst films. And this has been Beat Makes Us Guess.
Beat Makes Us Guess, yeah.
It looked to me like you guys had a great time at the bike on Friday night.
We did. Guys Night Out, that was a great time.
Anyone win?
Yes.
I know. Anyone in this room?
Anyone in this room?
Zero people in this room won.
Okay, all right. A lot of listeners won money. I know that. But you guys, not so much.
I got destroyed. So we're there. There's a couple hundred people. Giant room. Everybody's playing poker. Everybody's having fun. And then Muggs stands up and starts to tell a story.
Now, why? Who gave Muggs a mic and for what purpose?
Lightning, and because he's a genius.
Okay. Yeah, right?
So he gives Muggs the microphone. Now, you have to understand that in that room with those hundreds of people, it really, it's a lot like this. Everybody, glad you're here tonight. I hope. So you can't really understand what he's saying to begin with. And the poker story is something that doesn't need to be told.
Okay.
Here's what I've found out. Poker stories are usually extreme stories where somebody got beat in a really bad way. Like I had 3 fives and Allie had a 8-2 of spades and somehow she drew to a flush and beat me. People that play poker are tired of bad beat poker stories because they've heard them all or been through it. Muggs didn't even have a bad beat story. Muggs got up and he said, "Hey, everybody. Hope you're we don't have, unfortunately, we don't have the audio of the actual story, but we do have the apology."
Okay.
An apology was necessary?
Oh, yeah. Where the mic was given to him again, and then he apologized. "Hey, everybody. I just want to say that my first hand tonight, I had a 2. I had a 2 and an 8. And then the flop was 288. Okay, now. That's not a story, first of all.
Uh-huh.
Second of all, Muggs threw away the 2-8, which means he would have had a full house, but now he doesn't have anything. But he left that part out.
Oh, Muggs. Oh,
minor details. Minor details.
Then, and I was so shocked he would go in for another one. You know,
just get out.
You know, some people, you get the idea that, A, no one can hear you and understand. B, zero people care about that story.
Right, right.
So he followed it up quickly with, and then the next hand, I had a king 10, and the guy that beat me had a king jack. He won. And I was like, what the F is going on? If these were great stories, people couldn't understand them. But they were terrible stories.
Muggs, what were you thinking? What was your game plan?
Let me set this up.
I got to
the bike casino. I got to the bike casino.
Do we really do the... Okay. I got to my casino super tired, and I felt that I had to catch up. I had a drink to kind of wake up. So I started drinking quick.
Okay.
That's not smart.
That's not always smart. Makes mugs better.
So that...
That does make your storytelling better. It,
well... So I was hammered by the time I kept on asking Lightning for the mic, and I just had no...
I didn't realize you asked for the mic. I thought Lightning was being a genius.
No,
but
I asked
you
for it.
You got up and you actively called for the mic?
I had no awareness of
really?
If people wanted to hear me or not. I just didn't care.
And you don't remember why you thought it would be necessary for you to have the mic and to address it?
Yeah, you know, I think in the back of my head I was like... I should participate. This is Guy's Night Out with Beer Mug, Kevin, Dave, and Omar, and Lightning. I should participate.
All I know is halfway through the second story, I stood up from my table, threw my cards in, and ran over and said, "That's a great story. I hope you keep telling them."
Oh.
So then we play for another, I don't know, 10 minutes or so, 12.
Mm-hmm.
Muggs is waving over the mic again.
Handing
the microphone. Now, this we do have audio from, and this is Beer Mug now formally, he says, apologizing for the story that he just told a few minutes ago.
Mugs.
I just want to give a formal apology to everybody tonight because I'm trying to tell two stories about my poker hand tonight, and I failed both times. Non-coherent sentences are coming out of me, so I apologize. But I hope everybody's having a great time and Guy's Night Out.
Then everybody started chanting.
Why was the crowd? Was the crowd chanting?
Yes.
Good? Did that happen?
No, because nobody could understand a word he was saying. Why would you stand up and say I'm really sorry about those stories? What you're doubling down on bad.
Then I started,
why would you do that?
Because I in my drunk head I started second guessing myself. I'm like, I gotta fix this.
You need
this
to start first guessing yourself.
I gotta fix. You think that was fixing it?
No, that wasn't.
Formally apologize. I tried to tell two stories. Like everybody that lived through it
doesn't want to go.
8 minutes ago, yeah. I was gonna need to know what you're talking about. So then he ends with this.
Who's having a great time?
I believe it was Friday night.
It was Friday night.
You didn't have to pretend it was like Friday night. It actually was Friday night. Now, do you have the tape of Muggs going back up on stage to apologize for that apology?
I do, but I would just like to play this one more time because it makes me laugh.
Let's party like it's Friday night! Woo!
All right. Now Omar is there. Omar understands the magic of bad Muggs as well. So Omar suggests, hey, you know what? Maybe the way to win the crowd back over, now that you've lost them, is to do one of your patented impressions.
The greatest thing was, Kevin, it's like, after I did that apology, I looked to Omar to, like, you know, see if he wants to keep playing music, and he's like, Johnny Chicago, with thumbs up, and without even thinking about it twice.
See, this is why Omar's a genius. He didn't even have to think about it. He's just like, just do your impression, Muggs. So Muggs, after telling two stories and apologizing for two stories, now goes into his impression of Johnny Chicago.
Don't you love it when I try to play poker? Johnny Chicago.
That's Omar with reggaeton. And just for the record, they weren't selling hot dogs. So Johnny Chicago was a giant fail.
So that's my last Guy's Night Out.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. Yes. And in Muggs' mind, he's like, oh, Johnny Chicago's going to save it, man. I know I've embarrassed myself up till this point, but this is going to make the crowd happy.
What a great idea from Omar. I should do this because everybody's going to love it.
That is fantastic. But you just keep doing what you're doing, son.
You got it.
How about a pair of tickets to see the Los Angeles Clippers in Game 2 of the 2016 NBA Playoffs? It's a magic time of year. You want to be at Staples Center to see the game, plus qualify to win the grand prize. That includes VIP valet parking with a private entrance to Staples Center, access to the Lexus Courtside Club, passage to the Hyde Lounge. That's the grand prize. You will win tickets to the show right now if you call us at 1-800-520-1067. But you are going to have to earn them. All right, so we are looking for Clipper fans. If you've been a Clipper fan, especially if you've been a Clipper fan for a long time, this is a game for you. 1-800-520-1067. We'll play next on K-Rock.
Let's party like it's Friday night! Woo!
Kevin, how are you feeling about Kobe's last game tomorrow night?
Kind of bummed.
Kind of glad, too, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of bummed, but the Lakers need him to go away so that they can move on.
Exactly. Got to move on. Close. Yeah. The Clippers are back in the playoffs. We'll see how it goes this year. I mean, I think there's enough talent on that team that a lot of people are thinking they will go further than last year. But, you know, let's find out. A lot of tough teams in the West. 2016 playoff tickets to see the Los Angeles Clippers right now at 1-800-520-1067. This game, I think, is called Famous Clippers Fans.
Famous Clipper Fans, if you know.
Is Omar getting water from a different source than the rest of the building down in his room? Because I feel like something's going on.
Yeah, I want what he has.
Something's definitely
is.
Going on. All right, so the Clippers, the famous Clippers fans. So, Kevin, I guess what we're looking for here are celebrities.
Famous
celebrities who
Clippers.
Have been into the Clippers and are happy to let us know.
What exactly are you looking for, though?
We just played a half-hour song that said what it was.
So these are Clippers
right,
fans who are
famous.
Also famous. Okay.
Correct, yes.
All right. Let's meet our first contestant, shall
let's
we?
Start with Justin in North Hills. Hi, Justin.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Even before he hosted all those Oscars shows, this actor was a longtime Clipper fan, considered by many to be their first celebrity fan.
Billy Crystal?
That's correct.
Yes! Well done, sir.
Nicely done. What was that noise? That scared
stepped
me.
On a dog.
Let's go to Mel and Pomona. Hi there.
Hey there.
All right, are you ready for your question?
These are
famous people that are fans of the Clippers.
Oh, I get it now.
Right.
Famous Clipper fans. Okay,
uh-huh.
I got it.
We could blame this DJ producer for resurrecting Justin Bieber's career, and he also performed one of the strangest Clippers halftime shows with his buddy Skrillex.
Oh,
his buddy Skrillex.
I don't know this one.
This was a halftime show last year that also involved Left Shark 2, by the way, and Dinky the Dog. So it was pretty far out.
That would be Diplo.
Diplo! Yeah,
Diplo's the answer to that one. Thank you for calling. All right, let's go to Jose in Pomona. Hi, Jose.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, Good. Allie.
Hey, Jose.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
This actor can be seen cheering loudly at Staples Center as well as wearing a Clippers jersey on his ABC show, Black-ish.
This man is representing on network TV. Yes!
Nice. Okay, congratulations.
Thanks.
That seemed rather easy, didn't it? Anyone? Miguel and Chino, hi there.
Hey, what's up, guys?
We are doing famous Clipper fans. You understand the game?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right. This douchebag undefeated boxer can be seen courtside with his entourage.
You could have stopped it, douchebag boxer, Kevin.
Yes, congratulations.
Yeah.
Well
Thanks
done. All right. Let's go to Wes in Burbank. Hi, Wes.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Here's your question. He may not be the last man on earth, but you can see this bearded man in the crowd.
Oh. I don't remember his name.
The last man on earth.
He's that guy from that show. Come on.
Sorry, it's Will Forte. Will Forte.
Oh.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we are playing for Clippers playoff tickets. Will they be playing Portland, Dallas, or Memphis? We'll find out, I guess, tomorrow, and one of our listeners will be there. Who's our next contestant?
Famous Clippers fans.
Our next contestant is Daniel in Norwalk. Hi there.
Good morning, guys.
All right. This power music couple... He is one of the biggest rappers of all time. She may be the most popular female singer. Recently moved from New York and are now drunk in love.
What?
With the Clippers. I didn't write these questions.
Drunk in love. I would imagine it's Jay-Z and Beyonce.
That is correct, sir. Yes.
All right. Another winner.
Giving them away, for God's sakes. All right. Let's go to John in Long Beach. Hi, John.
Hey, what's up?
This SNL alum who has had horrible bosses. Can Bean, who writes these? Is this Dave?
That was Dave, yeah.
Can we have that not happen? This SNL alum who has had horrible bosses can be seen at Clippers games with his lovely wife, Olivia Wilde.
Oh, man. Oh, what's that guy's name?
Very famous Saturday Night Live. Say it again?
Yeah. The only horrible boss I can think of is Jennifer Aniston, and I'm pretty sure that's not right.
That's not, no. That's Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Who co-starred in that movie with Jennifer Aniston. So you're on the right track, but not today. All right. How about one more?
All right. Let's go to Vance in Irvine. Hi, Vance.
Morning, guys. What to do?
Here's your question. This workaholic, who will also be a wedding date later this summer, has been seen at L.A. Clippers games with his pal Eric Griffin.
Ooh. Workaholic.
Workaholic.
Shoot, I've watched him.
And his name is...
And he's a Clipper fan. Who's famous?
Jessica Alba's beautiful, and she's been there. That's all I know.
Does he get points for that?
I feel like we would accept that, but not for the tickets, unfortunately. Thank you for calling. That would be Adam Devine.
Adam Devine is what we were looking for. All right, so we got Justin in the drawing, right? Jose, Miguel, and Daniel, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Those are our contestants to win tickets to the Clippers and also be eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday for all the other good stuff I told you about, the valet parking with the private entrance, the Lexus Courtside Club pass at the Hyde Lounge. But for tickets today, Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Daniel.
Yay!
Daniel, congratulations, Daniel.
Cool, thanks a lot, guys.
You got the tickets. Thanks for playing the game. Famous Clippers fan.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You know what state in the Union of these great United States of ours has the most Irish Americans in it?
Boston.
That's not a state.
You know what state has the largest number of Irish Americans in it in these United States?
Boston.
I would say
Massachusetts.
That was A Moment with
Kevin. Those are two moments, and they were exactly 1 year apart.
Yeah. I can't wait for next St. Patrick's Day.
Me either.
That's an Inception moment, Kevin.
Yeah.
That is remarkable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons joins us next hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and we're very excited to welcome back actor David Anders as well. He, of course, Blaine on iZombie, maybe one of my favorite CW shows of all time. I love that show so much. Anyway, that's all coming up. Plus, we'll tell you in minutes how you can win your Coachella tickets. First, though, in for Ralph, here's Allie with the Showbiz Beat.
Hey, bad news, you guys.
Bad news.
If you ordered cosmetics off of Kylie Jenner's cosmetic site.
I did, because of her lips.
I know. You want to replicate those big, juicy
Correct.
Lips, Kevin. I understand. Well, yesterday was restock day, which means a lot of people were on the site wanting to get all the stuff that was out of stock. Here's the problem. When you would log on to the site, it would then send you to an existing customer's account, revealing their name, email address, personal address, order history, etc.
Ruh-roh.
Not yours, somebody
else? Someone else's. And then you'd refresh, thinking, oh, something screwed up. And it would send you to a whole other customer.
It's like a game.
It was like a game of whose personal information could I get.
But Kevin got so many credit card numbers yesterday, though.
Exactly. It doesn't say that credit card numbers were revealed. It was just names, addresses, personal info. But wow.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, that's a mix-up.
Not good. And it's bad that it happened on a Monday since it was restock day because over a million kits were bought.
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
So we can no longer make fun of her for just being a famous do-nothing. Now she actually has a business that's successful.
By the way, this is a restock. She already released
it
and it sold out.
Exactly. You guys.
Crazy.
So do we call it karma? Like, you're on that site buying the stuff, maybe?
I don't think we'll go quite that
far. No, okay.
But, yeah.
All right. But congratulations to her. Here's something that is making the news today because a trial has been scheduled for May 10th.
O.J. Simpson?
Nope. Oh. It's a copyright infringement trial. And this is between a pretty big band, Led Zeppelin, perhaps you've heard of them,
mm-mm.
and a smaller band called Spirit. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Spirit has a song called Taurus that came out in 1967. It's an instrumental. And apparently it sounds a lot like the beginning to Stairway to Heaven. And the lawsuit is brought about because apparently Led Zeppelin was touring with this band a couple years before Stairway to Heaven
Which was
came
when?
Out.
This would have been late 60s.
Maybe the late 60s.
So why are they suing now?
Why so soon?
Yeah, right? Why? Seriously, you would think that the day the Stairway to Heaven came out, a guy in the Spirit would go, hello?
Exactly. Yeah, apparently the lead singer of Spirit passed away in 97, but he was complaining before that, hey, I think they jacked my song.
Plus, I feel sick.
Plus, I'm not feeling great. It's very weird timing. But right now, it's going to go to trial because in a decision on Friday, U.S. District Judge Gary Klausner said the songs were similar enough to let a jury decide whether Plant and Page were liable for copyright infringement. I have a clip from both. I want to see if you guys agree. So here is the first one. This is Stairway to Heaven.
All right, I'm unfamiliar with that song, but it sounds terrible. All
right. Okay. And here it is. The original song that came out in 1967 by the band Spirit, Taurus.
Look, they're not dissimilar.
100% the same.
They
no, not 100%.
Together.
Not 100%.
The song comes
no.
out, Bean.
And by the way,
I rule.
Okay, Kevin says guilty.
I would also like to say, and what do you guys, I don't think juries should decide cases like this.
Who should?
I Bean? Think, Bean no, okay. certainly not me. I think that, I don't know. I just feel like the average person doesn't know enough about music or how it's written. But I guess that's what the expert witnesses will be
I know
about
that
on
we just
side.
Played both one song
and they
twice.
Sound similar. They sound similar. But couldn't you, but Kevin, don't you hear songs all the time that sound similar to other songs? It doesn't mean that one ripped off the other one. It just
Correct.
Doesn't.
But how often are those songs by people that toured together a couple years prior and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden that hit song comes out that sounds almost exactly like the same chord progression as the original.
So it sounds like you're saying guilty, Allie.
I'm saying guilty.
Really? That's Kevin, insane. You're saying guilty as well?
I would say, yeah, that's more than a coincidence since they toured together.
Yeah.
I would right. say yes, but only having listened to them for, you know, those exact same clips twice.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I mean, like you said, Allie, the judge said it can move forward, so I guess we'll see what happens
guilty.
Next.
Guilty!
But wow, the ruling
yeah,
so is in.
The trial is scheduled for May 10th, but since I did jury duty in February, I'm not eligible. So, Kevin, counting on you.
Okay. Could be you.
Yeah, take it out of the trash.
That'd be fun.
And report to jury duty. Who's with me?
I'd like to be on that jury.
Me too.
Because then, like, I'm sure they're going to have, you know,
Robert Plant in there.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, hey, Robert, I know you're like 95, but I still would.
That's what Bean would say, too.
Right?
Oddly enough.
Who wouldn't? All of these stars were born on today, April the 12th. Actor Andy Garcia is 60. David Letterman, 69. Shannon Doherty is 45. Actor Ed O'Neill is 70. Coldplay bassist Guy Berryman is 38. Brendan Urie, Panic at the Disco, is 29. Model actress Brooklyn Decker is 29, and actress Saoirse Ronan is 22. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
All right, we are going to open up the phone lines right now at 1-800-520-1067. You are running out of time, obviously, to go to Coachella this weekend because it's this weekend. But we've got passes for you right now for 3 days this weekend in the desert. If you call us at 1-800-520-1067, you will have to earn the tickets, but we'll play a game with you next, coming up on K-Rock. So you claim you're going to work on Friday ahead of Coachella and Monday after Coachella. You're going to be here on the show for both days, Kevin.
No, it's worse than that, Bean. I'm going to go to the Kings playoff game Thursday night.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Then broadcast from the Coachella house Friday morning.
Okay.
Wait. Uh-huh. So you're driving straight from the Kings playoff game to Coachella.
Correct.
So you're going to drive all night, basically.
Oh, dear.
How
then
great
go
is
right
that?
To the show.
I don't. Perfect.
It's a perfect plan.
And then you're going to spend 3 days in the sun in the desert. Mm-hmm. And then Monday morning at 5:30 a.m.,
that's
you're going to be
correct.
On 5:30-ish.
Let's go with 5:30-ish.
Okay.
Well, it is about the most exciting weekend of the year for K-Rock music fans because, you know, Coachella is Coachella. It's one of a kind. We want to give away a pair of tickets right now to you for this weekend at 1-800-520-1067 with a game that we like to call Fake Band, Real Band.
Fake band, real band, fake band, real band. Pick the real one, I don't think that you can. If you do, you'll strike gold. But if you don't, you're just an asshole.
That seems harsh, I think. Wow. So the thing about Coachella is everybody knows Guns N' Roses, but there are 200 bands on the bill. And
right.
There's lots of groups, and some of them will be discovered by you over the weekend where you go, wow, I'd never heard of those guys before, but they were fantastic. And that's what this game is all about. Right, Allie?
That is right. I'm going to give you three bands. One of those bands is a real band.
Okay.
I need you to tell me which of these three is real.
All right.
Who's with me?
So let's start with Andy in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
All right, Andy, do you get it? One of these bands is real, two are fake. You give me the real band.
She's going to give us three bands.
Yes.
You pick the real one.
I think we've established that. These are famous Clipper fans. Famous.
No.
Oh, no, that was last hour. I'm sorry. All right, here's Allie. Listen up.
All right. Sweater beats. Sweater puppies. Sweater dresses.
Ooh, the real band, I'm going to say the Weatherbeats.
I feel like he was close enough.
I swear I heard you say Weatherbeats.
And the fact that weather is not part of it.
Now, they're all sweater bands, but Sweatherbeats is the real one. So, yeah, you're in the
deal.
Here's a little taste.
Oh,
Sweatherbeats.
All right.
Sweater Beats.
That's a band name.
Or Weather Beats. Either way.
Either way, he was right.
Jason in Whittier. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right. Here are your bands. Samoa Meadow, Mint Field, Tagalong Pasture. That's Samoa Meadow.
Tagalong Pasture.
Oh. I'm sorry, no.
It was Mint Field.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Jason.
Like not all of them are good.
I like the Girl Scout cookie theme, though.
Did you like that?
That was very good.
Thank you.
Gustavo and Bill, hi.
Hey, good morning.
All right, Gustavo, here are your bands. Is the real band Denim Shorts, Fur Coat, or Penny Loafer?
Penny Loafer?
No, it's Fur Coat.
Here's some Fur Coat. Cooking Ketamine, yeah.
Ketamine,
you're going to have
ketamine. That's a weekend.
You're going to have a moment this weekend where you're going to be, I am at a Fur Coat concert.
Yep.
That's happening right now.
That's fun of it. Let's go to Allie in Long Beach. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
Hi, Allie. Great name. Here are your choices. Is it Yum Yum Gimme Sums, The Sorries Not Sorries, or Bad Bad Not Good?
Bad Bad Not Good.
Yes!
Come on,
Allie. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. All right, Allie, you're on hold. You're in the drawing along with Andy.
All right, you hold on. Let's go to...
I love that was just a total guess, but she was so delighted.
Let's go to Chris in West Covina, hi there.
Hello.
All right, Chris, one of these bands is real. Is it the Funk Hunters, the Soul Slayers, or the Jazz Jousters?
The Full Flare?
Wasn't even one of them. But no.
Let's hear it again, Allie.
The Funk Hunters, the Soul Slayers, or the Jazz Jousters?
The Funk.
What?
I'm sorry, what was that again?
No!
Oh my God!
We can't do it.
All right. How about this? Okay. A, B, or C?
Okay. B.
I'm sorry. No.
It was the Funk Hunters. These are real bands.
These are real bands. Some of them. Abe and Laguna and Miguel. Hi.
Hey. Good morning.
Hey, Abe. How have you been doing on this?
Not too good. But
okay. Good, good. All right. Is the real band Rooted Vacations, Steady Holiday, or Stable Sabbaticals? Rooted Vacations. What?
I'm going to go with C, Stable Sabbatical.
It is a great band name, but indeed, no. It is Steady Holiday.
There's a clip.
Oh, that is that's very Cardigans-like, isn't it?
Sure is.
Right. You remember them.
About the song.
All right. How about one more?
Robert in Huntington Beach. Hi there.
Hello.
All right. You're our last hope. Is the real band The Drifter, The Grifter, or The Regifters?
The Regifters.
No, it's The Drifter.
I would just like to say,
how about one more?
Really?
Yeah, okay. Let's do one more. We don't want
I would like to
loser.
Say for the record, by the way, that I like the band names that Allie came up with better than I like the ones the bands came up with.
It's real sad.
They should be using her to name their groups.
How about not one more?
No.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
All right. Andy or Allie, only one will win tickets from Kevin and Bean right now to go to Coachella this weekend. Dave, the King of Mexico, in here doing the drawing. Who's our winner? Please shake it.
Shaking it in his hand.
I'm going to go with Ellie.
Yay!
I didn't know Allie was in the drawing.
Her name is Allie. He can't pronounce my name either.
I see. Okay. Congratulations. We'll see you at Coachella. All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for playing the game.
Fake band, real band, fake band, real band.
A couple of Saturday nights ago at the Shrine Auditorium, we put on this year's Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, and it was a great time, as it always is. But I have to tell you, my favorite moment happened backstage when I got a chance to hang out with this man right here in the studio, Greg Fitzsimmons, who joins us. Hey, Greg, how are you, man?
I'm good. Yeah, it was. It was super fun. I felt like Toto when he ran under the curtain and saw the wizard.
Beans the wizard?
Yeah.
Yes, because we don't see each other in person often.
No.
We just talk on the radio, so it was very nice to hang out with you. Did you have a good time? Did you have fun that night?
I got to tell you, and I don't know, I'm not the most well-prepared guy in the world.
Really?
I have.
Oh, that's right. Because we have something to talk to you about, but go ahead.
I go, so I generally get, a gig gets booked, and I put it in my book, and I go, I map quest where I'm going. You guys were nice enough to send a limo for me, which is always good.
I hope it wasn't a limo. We only paid for a midsize.
It was midsize.
Okay, good. So I know we're not buying limos for anyone.
And so, you know, and my neighbors, I don't really know my neighbors. I make a point of it.
How long have you lived there?
4 years.
You don't know any of them?
No, but here's what I love is when a town car comes and picks you up. And they wait outside the car with their hands folded in front of them. And you come out and you just look at your neighbors like, yeah, this is how I live. And so I get to so we're in the car and I'm like checking emails on my phone. And I go, so where are we going? And he goes, Shrine Auditorium. And I go, yeah. Where are we going? And he's like, Shrine Auditorium. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I get online and I look it up and there's 6,800 seats.
Right.
And I'm like, Kevin and Bean can fill 6,800 seats?
Well, we can't, but the comedians can. So you showed up.
You had no idea.
So you thought, I mean, that's in your awesome. Mind, if someone had asked you, hey, where are you playing tonight? You would have said, I don't know, the Hollywood Improv. I mean, you wouldn't have had any idea, right?
No. I figured it was like the Pantages.
It was like the Wiltern or something?
Or somewhere, you know, 1,500 seats or something.
So that explains why you dressed up.
I was going to say, I had orange pants on.
They were great pants. Right?
They were pretty strong as far as orange pants go.
And I get backstage and I see comics, you know, what's his name? Eddie Ift is sweating his ass off and he's pacing. And I was like, what are you so nervous about? He's like, there's 6,800 people out there.
What's the average size that you play to?
6,700. That's 6,700. Why I lost a little bit. Wow. No, I go out on the road, you know, anywhere from like 250 to 450 range. And then, you know, I'll do a Thursday show, 2 Friday, 2 Saturday. That's the standard.
Mm-hmm. But your act is going to – I mean, your job is the same. It doesn't matter how big the audience is, right?
You know what you got to do is slow it down because the people that are way up top and in the back – the joke's not hitting them right away.
Oh, so timing-wise, you do have to change up a little of what you do.
Yeah, you just got to slow it down a tiny bit. You got to wait Not necessarily the delivery is the same, but when you finish the joke, you got to give it an extra beat and let the sound bounce all the way to the back and come back to you again, and then start the next one. And also, you got all that space and you got to use it. You have to. I don't normally move very much, but I was walking from end to end, and trying to
stage dived. I like that.
I stage dived.
That was pretty sweet.
And I did that. Remember, I did Dancing in the Dark, and I brought that girl up on
That's
stage.
That's right. That was such a.
Oh, that was you.
Nice
oh, okay.
Yeah, you got to go a little big. Go a little big.
Well, thank you for doing it. By the way, we really very much enjoyed having it. I think it was a really fun night. I mean, Saget was great, and Jay Moore was great, and Fluffy was great, and Eliza just killed. I don't know if you got a chance to stick around at the end, but Eliza was amazing. Amazing.
It
was just a great night.
Yeah, no, I saw a few people. I didn't see Eliza, but it's just like everybody, you step up your game because you get nervous, and over if you've been doing stand up long enough, you have to learn to turn the nervous energy into performance. It infuses you to go bigger and be more focused, and in that venue, I think it brought out the best in everybody.
I feel like I would be a little afraid though to take a beat for the laughter, in case now if the laughter doesn't come, now you've taken a really awkward beat.
Right, right.
And you're, okay, I'll move on now.
Also, the front was just like a drunk fest. There were guys standing
hammered.
Up.
I got news for you. The whole place.
They were all drunk?
Yeah.
But you could see the ones up front, I guess, because you would do a joke, and if the joke went well, guys would stand up like it was WWE, and they would start like high-fiving the air and jumping up and down. And I got – yeah, so it was good because you'd look at those people and you'd be like, all right, I can take a beat because I'm causing a mania.
This is the voice of Greg Fitzsimmons here on the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, you can see him at the aforementioned Up Hollywood Improv this Monday night at 8 o'clock. You are doing a live podcast of your Fitzdog Radio.
Yeah, Aisha Taylor will be my guest.
How about Aisha Tyler? Will she be there too?
What did I say?
Taylor.
I said Taylor.
It was maybe your accent.
Wow. Wait, is she black?
Yes.
Oh, that's Tyler. Aisha Tyler.
You booked the right one, right?
Right.
She's fantastic, by the way.
I've never spent time with her. We meet each other in passing, and I can't be more excited.
She's great.
And the Improv's got this little room in the front where it's like a lab performance space that's really tight and it's fun.
A lab performance?
Yeah, well,
you try stuff out?
There's the main room, and then sort of, and then they do podcasts back there and stuff that's a little bit more like lit like a small lounge. So it's fun.
Do you like having those? Because I love your podcast, Greg, and we've talked about this before. I think you are literally one of the best interviewers going these days.
Thank you
but
very
there
much.
Is a, there's an intimacy in the fact that you guys are just two people in a room talking. Does it disrupt your flow if you've now got an audience, you've got people laughing and things like that?
It definitely changes it because it's like that thing of do I look at the audience or do I look at my guest? And you have to kind of split the difference and connect with them. But at the same time, feel free to throw them under the bus and chase a punchline if you have one.
whatever it takes.
To just break the fourth wall and, be like Conan O'Brien, who's the worst interviewer on television. Because if he has a thought that he thinks is funny,
right,
he will indulge himself to just go into a little one-man show while the guest sits
regardless
there.
Regardless of what's being said.
Right,
I
right.
love him for that.
tickets are just $10, by the way, available at improv.com.
Wow,
if you want to see, that's all. Yeah, you should be very disappointed in that fee, by the way.
You never read your emails, do you?
If I knew it was Taylor, I would have gone bigger.
Tyler. Before we break, Greg, I do want to ask you about one thing, because I listened to you this week on my very close show business friend Jimmy Pardo's podcast. It was very entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
But you said something when you walked in that really surprised me, which is that you were bleeding from the head and had no idea how.
Right.
Are you okay?
Yeah, it's fine. I just feel like it's one of those things where you get older and you just think, you get a cut. I don't know if it's bad memory or if cuts just sort of manifest randomly.
I don't think cuts.
No.
You mean manifest just out of the blue? You don't
like stigmata?
Like stigmata, or like am I in Philadelphia? I don't know what happens, but
right.
Suddenly I'm blistering.
Right.
And the other thing is that when you go out into the sun, if you're not sure if you're going bald, and Kevin, you can relate to this, you're not bald, but
right.
You're balding.
I'm on my way.
And you go out in the sun, and you don't realize that. When you get a sunburn on the top of your head, you go, Oh, that's a reality check.
Yeah, and that's the worst kind of sunburn,
yeah.
too. Because
yes.
that skin is not
flakes
used to
it. It looks like you have dandruff. It's a problem.
Yeah, not and then good. When you eventually do go bald, you're going to have those like sunspots.
Sweet.
Just in like an alley on the top
that's
of your head.
That's why I'm going to get a bad toupe. That's my plan. Yeah. Bad toupe.
Yeah, I can commit to that.
Or a very stylish Newsies cap. Maybe that's
right.
the way to go.
Yeah.
like some do.
Yeah. You know, it's difficult when, like, my hair is falling out to the point now where I'm actually embracing it. And I just turned 50 this past week.
Oh, you look terrible, Greg.
Thank you. I do. I look terrible. I'm Irish. Irish people, we look like baby faces until guys hit, like, 36. And then the hair evacuates.
It's just like a flipping a switch?
Yeah. It's flipping a switch. And
now you look like a weathered sailor. Like a guy who spent his whole life on the ocean.
Right. Or the food that the sailors eat, like just dried beef jerky to the sides of your eyes, and the spider veins pop out around your ankles. And I'm 150 pounds, and I have probably a 22-pound belly that just sticks out. So I look like a snake that just ate a rat.
It's sexy, though. You make it work.
Freckles expand, and the eyebrows grow long, and they're orange.
Uh-huh.
Pubic hair is orange.
Okay.
You know that?
I think that's where we bail here. Listen, who wouldn't want to see this sexy beast Monday night? Hollywood Improv tickets on sale now for Greg Fitzsimmons. It's improv.com. A quick break. More with our guest after this on K-Rock. Our friend Greg Fitzsimmons in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can see him doing his very popular Fitzstock radio podcast at the Hollywood Improv this Monday night. And you should for just $10 as he grills Aisha Tyler. Improv.com to buy your tickets.
That sounded weird.
Are you going to grill her?
Jeez.
You say drill or grill?
I said grill.
Okay, I'm asking.
Look, what they do after the podcast is up to them. But I'm saying during the podcast, he's going to interview her.
I'm going to thrill her.
You're going to thrill her.
Yes.
Sure. That's fine. Greg.
I don't like that.
What? You don't like what?
Well, you say my name and then there's a long pause.
Did you feel like everything changed right there?
I feel like we're going to go into let's knock Greg off balance a little bit.
Not at all. Not at all. We have something in common that I am excited to talk to you about.
Oh, good.
One of the reasons why I'm glad you were here is that you are also, like me, in a very deep, dark well of depression that the OJ miniseries is over.
Oh.
Because it's so sad that we don't have that on our Tuesday nights anymore. In fact, this is the first Tuesday tonight that we're not going to have it, and I'm not even sure how I'm going to deal.
I said word for word that whole statement yesterday because we were watching it. It was me and my wife, and then I have my little niece, Kayla's been staying with us since January. I think she moved in the week the OJ series started.
Is she moving out now?
And she has to move out.
She might as well.
Right. She's like the jury. I'm dismissing her. And we would watch, and it was literally, that was why television was invented.
Yeah. Yes.
It is so every good. Characteristic of why it's a serial. It goes on week after week. It's actors that have basically said, you know, I'm going to slum it on TV. It was way better than they deserved, than TV deserved.
Than anyone could have predicted. We all thought it was just going to be campy and dumb, and then it turned out to be the most riveting thing we've seen all year.
And I think also, I don't know if it's just because it's our generation and we lived through it, and each of those things you have to keep going like, oh, yeah, Marcia Clark and Darden maybe had an affair. I remember that was the big talk. And I remember, you know, I forgot about all the jurors getting dismissed. And,
yep.
But really,
I forgot the thing that blew me away that, of course, we all lived through was when Johnny Cochran said, you can't tell if somebody's black based on their voice. And I thought, oh, yeah,
yeah,
that was a thing that that would happen back then.
I remember thinking that and going like, nope. You can. Like, there was I don't know if I've told you this story on this show, but I'm going to repeat it because it may become my trademark. I was working in Boston, and there's a woman who called the Faneuil Hall Comedy Connection, overweight black woman, we're going to assume for the sake of the story.
Okay.
And she calls in and she goes, who's on the show tonight? She was from the 1930s, by the way.
And
they said, well, it's Jackie Flynn, Anthony Clark, and Greg Fitzsimmons. And she goes, is Grapefruit Simmons the headliner?
How you didn't change your name to Grapefruit, I don't know.
I flew the biggest career ever.
Oh,
forget Letterman.
God.
Forget 1 hour special. Not changing my name to Grapefruit Simmons. Biggest mistake of my life.
We just, may only refer to you as that.
Right. Oh. And my headshot, just a giant grapefruit with my face imprinted on it. The Citrus Comedy Tour. I blew it.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
You did say something, though, on one of your appearances recently that actually made me feel better about the verdict. Because I relived the trial, as many of us did, watching that show on FX. And I got mad all over again. Allie, you had to talk me down a couple times because of how furious I was.
It was concerning.
I was furious.
How much he thought that this show would actually change. Like, it would be better once he's guilty. No!
Right,
he was never guilty. Let it go.
But he was never guilty?
He was always guilty. He was always guilty, but he really thought the verdict would be changed.
That was really hoping. Yeah.
I was hoping. Yes, because I kept going, look at all the evidence. Yeah. They can never explain the blood away.
Right.
But you put it in a perspective that actually legitimately helped me deal with going through this all again, which is that you said, forget the race part of it. It's the rich part of it. This is what rich people do is they have enough money to pay for enough attorneys to muddy the waters.
Yeah.
And they always get off.
Yeah. And it's
he's another rich white guy, basically.
It was actually a testament to the fact that blacks have earned the right to buy their freedom just the way whites do. You know? And also, he wasn't black. That dude was
he didn't see himself as black.
No. When they went into his house and they changed all of the photos of white golfing buddies.
Did you know any of that stuff?
No.
Because that's some of the stuff that came out where I went, I had no idea that Johnny Cochran went into his house and made it more black.
Yes, he blacked it up.
That's crazy.
I did the same thing to my house after that.
Did you?
Just because I was so into the series. Yeah. My kids and I put them actually, and this sounds bad, but I didn't even get black people in the pictures. I put blackface on my family.
Mm. Oh, no, that's not acceptable.
Yeah, we
do a cabaret act now.
But look, when you're Grapefruit Simmons, you can get away with that.
That's right.
Do you think, is OJ aware enough of how much he blew it? Like, does he wake up every day in prison in Nevada and go, I got away with a double murder, but I was stupid enough to do something else to get arrested and sent away for life?
I'm the juice.
Yeah, I'm
whatever that is. Let's try to be a good guy.
He's just trying to be a good guy.
Like, how does he not spend every minute of every day hitting himself in the head for being so stupid to get away with one and then get caught by the other?
Right. He's like I'm the Justin Spieth, Jordan Spieth. Is that the guy's name?
Jordan Spieth, yes.
He
just blew the Masters.
Spieth of athletes. You know, he had it. He had it, and then he choked. But it really, to me, was a sign that he was insane. He was on top of his insanity when he won that case because he showed a complete conviction that he was innocent. But then the insanity doesn't last. Good insanity doesn't last. And it turned into full-on crazy guy stealing his stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And Did you guys notice halfway through the series, it seemed like there was a point where he turned the switch and started yelling at people as if he was, like, he went from a completely guilty mindset to completely innocent.
Yeah.
Oh, he convinced himself.
Totally.
Yeah.
He didn't convince Robert Kardashian.
No, he did not.
That was the only giveaway that OJ was really guilty in the entire series, was that Kardashian at the end walked away.
Yeah.
Because you got the sense he was our eyes and ears into it. He was the guy on the inside who was questioning.
And he was his best friend, so he had a reason to not believe it.
But
he couldn't
get
it out of his mind.
Right, and he also had access to the information like nobody else. He saw the original evidence in every step of the way. And but I also, God love him. What's the guy who played him?
David Schwimmer.
Oh, really bad. Really bad, you know. I just thought he.
Or was it just we didn't know what the real guy looked like, and maybe that was a very accurate portrayal of him?
It was a portrayal of a guy playing one note the entire series.
But Travolta ran away with the bad acting.
You think so?
Yes, he was terrible.
Really?
You didn't think Travolta was?
I think he went deep into the character, so it was hard for him to do much with his face puffed out
he just
like
had that.
That
I think that's just his face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. It's actually just his face.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they put prosthetics
no.
on.
No. No, that's his face.
Oh,
Greg.
God.
Yeah.
All right.
Does that change things?
Yeah. No, Schwimmer's no longer the worst actor in it.
Well, I think we can all agree that Sarah Paulson needs to win all the Emmys in the world, first of all, for every category.
Wow.
And Courtney B. Vance also needs to win whatever's left because those two, that made the whole thing worthwhile just watching those two.
And she's going to need Nicorette patches because she was smoking in every single scene.
Every scene. Yeah. And she didn't smoke, by the way. She took it up for the role.
Yeah, I heard that. So, she was a good smoker. Sometimes you can tell that somebody's not really a smoker.
Oh, like they're faker?
They smoke it like a cigar.
Right.
They don't inhale. They just kind of puff it back out again. But she had it down. And the sexual tension between her and Darden when they went to San Francisco.
So good.
Oh, yeah. That was practically spank material.
Yeah. practically.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
For some people.
Especially because it was interracial. I don't know why that makes me so excited.
Well, I think you have to deal with that on your own, Greg. I'm sorry to say. We can't help you there.
That's right. Grapefruit.
That's right. See, this is why I'm sad that we have to say goodbye, because I feel like we're just getting started here,
all
Greg.
Right.
But that's why what you do with your interviews is so captivating, is there's no limits, man.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you listening.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. Check out the GregFitzsimmons.com site if you want to get more information on the podcast. Of course, you can subscribe on iTunes, and you can see it live in person this Monday night, improv.com, 8 o'clock on Monday night, and on Twitter at GregFitzShow. Great to see you again, buddy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Hey?
Sure.
Okay. All right, good. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
Tell everyone you know, actor David Anders from iZombie joins us in studio next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's going to be a lot of fun. And before that, we'll take your telephone calls on any topic. Kevin and Bean's What's Good. This is where you dial in and bring up stuff on the show that you think we ought to be talking about, something that's going on in the news. You got questions, you got comments, you got problems. What else are
we're
we looking
best
for?
With problems.
We're
yeah,
really good.
Really
we're
good.
So good. We have give so much good
if
advice.
If you need advice, we're your guys.
So you call us right now. We'll talk to you just after the top of the hour. 1-800-520-1067. Your chance to be on the show as part of Kevin Bean's What's Good. First, though, in for Ralph, here's Allie with the show this week.
What are you guys doing around noon today?
What are my options?
Want to head down to Ben & Jerry's for a free cone?
Is today free cone day?
It's free cone day.
I love free cone day.
Kevin, what's so funny?
Well, I'm the one that loves ice cream the most, but you could get an ice cream cone every day.
For free.
But free, though.
Right.
It's free, Kevin.
Right, okay.
Any flavor you want.
Right.
From noon until 8 o'clock.
Right.
Head down to Ben & Jerry's, free cone.
I will be there.
That's a good deal.
And guess what you can do?
What?
Because there's no rules on free cone day. You get that free cone.
Is it just mayhem?
Then you get back in line and get another cone and another cone and another cone. You can get as many free cones as possible.
I can't believe they don't limit it per person.
No. There's no limit.
Bean and I figured out one time that the 31 flavors over by the radio station had a training day.
Uh-huh.
So we would go there on a training day. And they would fly people from all over the country teaching how to do a banana split. And then they go, who wants a banana split? And we would just be sick. We would eat ourselves sick.
Well, you were
because they'd give it away.
Right?
Because it was free.
Oh, this is recently?
This is, well, I mean, you know, it's...
Since we've had this job.
More recently than we'd like to admit.
Did you know I had a job at Ben & Jerry's? It was my first real job when I was 16.
I did not know that.
Wow.
I had another job when I was 15, but that was under the table type of thing. Mm. But yeah, my first job, it was the Ben & Jerry's on Canaan. It's no longer there. Big up, Segura Hills. I didn't close it down, but it's no longer there.
Did they have... free cone day back when you were working
they
for them?
Didn't they did okay. not but
no,
it
it's
was
a great,
great
it's a great deal. Free cone day is awesome. I
absolutely.
Love that. And I also love free Slurpee day, obviously, on July 11th every year. 7-Eleven is another kind of a red letter day on the calendar.
Is that the day where you can bring in any cup size for your Slurpee, or is that
no,
a different thing?
That's a different day.
Wow, so many free days. Again, noon to 8 o'clock today, Ben and Jerry's free cone day. This is right up your alley, and I'm very happy to say, Kevin.
Yes.
Dustin Screech Diamond got out of jail early.
Yay!
Yep.
He was still in jail for that?
Well, he was convicted for stabbing a man during a bar fight back in December 2014. But due to his handiwork with a mop and a bucket, he just worked his little butt off, and he was released on Monday after serving just under 3 months behind bars.
How long was his sentence, do you know? He must have mopped like a mother effer.
Must have.
No?
He was only able to knock off a month off his sentence, but still, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
So he's not going around stabbing people.
On
right?
Christmas
or was
Day
that
is the part you forgot.
Ice? I get
no, that
confused.
was Screech.
Okay. Yeah, it was a Christmas Day in
Christmas
December
Day.
Back in Wisconsin. That is a great point. Very good stuff. Hey, remember when Megan Fox filed for divorce about 9 months ago?
Yes. And I called dibs?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, someone called dibs because she's pregnant again.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know how this dibs thing works.
I don't think it works the way you think it does. But right. She, according to this article, debuted her baby bump at yesterday's CinemaCon in Las Vegas.
Did she end up divorcing her husband? I want to say David Alan Greer, but that's not right. Who was she married to?
I would love that.
Let's go
Wouldn't
with David Alan Greer.
Best?
what was his name?
Brian Austin Green.
Brian Austin Green, right. Yeah. I think it was another one of those. Okay. Did they end up divorcing or did they get back together and this is their child?
They filed for divorce in August of last year after 5 years of marriage, but this will be their third baby if it's his. It doesn't say in here.
It might be David Alan Greer's. You don't know.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
That would be the best. It would be the best thing that ever happened.
Right?
Yep.
Especially for Dag.
Especially for Dag. All of these stars were born on today, April the 12th. David Letterman is 69 years old today. Shannon Doherty is 45. Actress Jennifer Morrison, 37. Claire Danes, also 37. Panic at the Disco's Brendan Urie is 29. Actor Ed O'Neill is 70. And actress Saoirse Ronan, she is turning 22 today. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
1-800-520-1067. That's our number. You call us. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
This is where you call us on any topic, and why don't we turn it over to Joey up first? He's on line two and calling in from Pasadena this morning. Hey, Joey.
Hey, so I just heard from North Carolina yesterday that X Hamster, the porn site, is blocking all access to North Carolina IP addresses in protest for the religious freedom thing.
Wow. What's the site again?
X Hamster.
Oh.
I don't know. Bean's probably heard of it.
No, I literally didn't
it's
know that one.
It's hamsters having sex, Bean.
Okay, if it's hamsters having sex, I'm in. That is really interesting. You know, this is, it's so funny to see, look, for folks who aren't following the news, Mississippi has passed some new anti-gay laws, and you might have different interpretations of it, but a lot of people think that they're very regressive and they're taking us back a lot of years compared to what's allowed in other states. So, all these people are protesting, like Bruce Springsteen canceling his concerts there, Bryan Adams canceling his concerts there, and each one individually doesn't make that much of a difference. But I think the hope is when you start getting into people's porn that folks in North Carolina are going to stand up and go, stop it. Don't start cutting me off from all the things I love here. Allie, is that the plan here, you think? Is that they're hoping that enough people will mobilize in North Carolina that they'll get to the leaders to change this law?
Well, the thing with the North Carolina law, this has to do with the transsexual and bathroom, and which bathroom do you use if you're going through a transition, that type of thing. But here's the thing that I liked that they pointed out, that back in March, this website alone had 400,000 hits for the term transsexual alone.
Wow.
Just in North Carolina. So somebody there wants some some porn.
How about that?
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting because you can say, oh, Bruce Springsteen's not coming. I wasn't going to go see that show anyway. Everyone loves porn.
Yeah. You start taking away my transsexual porn. Now you've got complaints.
That's what I'm saying.
Now I'm going to stand up and complain. All right. Great call, Joey. Thank you so much for dialing in. We appreciate that. Let's try Adrian in Redlands, please. Line four. This might be a question for you, Kevin.
Hey, Adrian.
What's going on, you guys? Top of the morning.
Top of the morning. What's good?
All right, I got a dilemma. I'm going to Coachella this weekend.
Right.
I got acid. I got mushrooms.
Mushroom? What?
you said mushrooms? Mushrooms?
I was just repeating.
Okay.
All right. So what's your question? Is what?
My question is, which one I should take first? Should I take them both at the same time or at separate times?
Maybe
not at the same. Slow down, Adrian.
Take it easy.
Slow your roll.
First of all, take them both at the same time and take them at 11 a.m. Friday. That's what you think. And then you miss the entire Coachella experience.
Yeah. What's your rush? It's 3 days in the desert. What's your rush to cram everything into your mouth in the first hour?
He only has a 1 day pass.
No, I got all three. I just can't wait. I've been waiting all year. This is my get out of jail card. I could act silly.
You know what doesn't happen, though, is you're not going to get out of jail.
Do you have
put in jail?
Do you have, and I don't know what the technical term is, but do you have some sort of a safe buddy or something like that who's going to be with you to make sure things don't go down?
Yeah, my wife. My wife will be with me, but she'll be on some other stuff.
Okay, I just want to make sure somebody's looking after you. I just want to make sure somebody's taking care of you so, you know, it doesn't get bad. That's all.
The cops will. Don't make
okay.
All
right.
Hey, let's say pace yourself. Just pace yourself a little bit.
We would never say do drugs, mushrooms.
Ever, but do mushrooms first.
Right. Okay, thank you for the call.
Let's try Rob Baldwin Park, please, up next on line 5.
Hey, Rob.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's good?
Hey, so I heard that Led Zeppelin, their song "Share with Heaven," is getting sued by a band called Spirit. That's supposedly Jimmy Page ripped off the opening intro from Led Zeppelin from one of their songs.
Now, what about that? Because Led Zeppelin, one of the most respected rock bands of all time, although I will say, I have to point out, they did have some problems with ripping off some blues songs on their early albums, too, and they eventually had to go back and give credit to people like Willie Dixon, whose songs they basically copied to make their own songs. But this Stairway to Heaven lawsuit really, really surprised me. What do you think? Have you heard both versions, Rob?
I heard it, and, I mean, you don't really sound like – they don't sound too similar, except, like, Led Zeppelin has just, you know, that Zeppelin sound to it. Spirit just sounds really, really bland.
They don't sound similar to you?
What about the fact, though, that they were touring together 2 years before any of this happened?
And the Spirit song came first, and the guys in Led Zeppelin had heard the Spirit song because, as Ali said, they were out on the road together. So is it possible that even unintentionally it might have kind of seeped into the songwriting process when they sat down to do Stairway?
I mean, that's possible, but... I mean, well, obviously, like the flute's coming to play for a Zeppelin song, but I don't think it has, like, the Spirit song just sounds really, really simple, and Zeppelin sounds more and more melodic.
All right. Well, listen, you hang up, and we're going to let's play both clips and let the audience decide and see what they think, okay?
All right, the first one is which?
Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin. Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven, and now let's hear the Spirit song called Taurus.
Nothing alike.
Except
everything.
Totally.
Well, I mean,
did they today wake up and go, you know what? Those songs are quite alike.
What's the rush 50 years later? So, Allie, you're on the jury.
Mm-hmm.
What say you?
Well, I'm going to first listen to some experts who's going to break down, like, the chord progression and how similar can songs be and whatnot. But then as soon as I hear that the song Taurus by the band Spirit, it came out a few years prior, and they were on tour together.
Guilty!
Yeah.
In other words, A knows B, so A ripped off B.
That's what I'm saying. It's a little suspect, and that hurts me because Robert Plant can get it.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more. Let's make it Jesse in Pomona. He or she is up next on line 7, please.
All right. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. What's Cheating? Good?
Hi, Jesse.
Hey, so what's up with the Wheel of Bad Animal voices? We need that back. I love it how Ralph gets all happy and giddy when that comes up. It's like his favorite thing to do on a show.
Yeah,
I believe we should bring him back.
All right, look, here's the real truth, and I'm glad you called, Jesse, and I'm really glad you called today because Ralph isn't in here to poo-poo the idea. We love the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, probably for the same reason Ralph hates it, because he has to go in and pick up the phone and be a drunk bear or be a stoned spider or be a, be a cheetah wearing a dress, whatever it is. And I think he hates the fact that that's his life. I think he absolutely hates, oh, my God, I've got to play another goddamn panda for Kevin and Bean.
The fact that we all love it.
We love it. And he's so good at it.
Don't you think?
Especially the cheetah with the dress.
He loves that one.
That's our favorite one. Go to the table with that.
I mean, here's the thing.
I like the way you think, Jesse, is that, and that is that if we're driving Ralph crazy, we need to do it more.
Right. We need to do it more. Because he hates it so much, but he's so good at it. He's so funny playing those characters,
inside,
and we'd love it.
On the inside, I think he loves it.
You do? You think he does?
It's just a facade. He's putting on a mask.
I see. Deep dive into Ralph's psyche. I like it.
All right, we're going to try that. The next time we pitch the Wheel of Bad Animal Voice, we're going to say, but Jesse said that inside you're loving it, Ralph.
you love this cheetah in a dress.
He loves it.
All right, man. Great call.
Do you guys remember the cheetah in a dress? That was so great.
Thanks for calling, dude. What's good? Right about now, all iZombie fans across America are tuning in because they know we're going to have David Anders on. He plays Blaine on the show with his big season finale tonight. He's running a few minutes late, but he'll be joining us very soon here on the Kevin DeBean Show. You guys remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the story about the woman who tweeted about the date that she went on and the toilet wouldn't flush and she was all embarrassed, so she wrapped it up and put it in her purse.
Yes.
Yep.
You guys called way BS on that, right?
Yep.
And I still don't know why you don't want to believe her heartbroken story. But this is another story that is now very popular online, and I'm not sure about this one, but it sounds like it certainly could be true. Now, the guy who tweeted it out is named Josh Raby. He is a director and a writer. He does do that. He's in show business. He's got a very thin IMDb, but at least we know it's coming from a writer. So you guys tell me if this is real, if this is crazy enough that he just made it up, or did it really happen to him? It's 1 a.m., and I decided I wanted a milkshake. So there's a McDonald's near my house. I'm greeted at the drive-thru by the following sentence, and that's the first of his many tweets on this event at McDonald's, okay? Here's the quote coming at him through the drive-thru window. Hey, holy S, hello, you are at McDonald's and I am begging your patience. There are no other cars here, by the way. I'm caught off guard, so I mumble, okay, you can have it. And the voice comes back, praise you. Does this sound like a setup for a thing, or is it so far you're down, you're believing Josh?
I don't know what to think yet.
I'm nervous.
Need more info.
I mean, that is a weird conversation to be having with the guy behind the McDonald's glass, right?
Especially if there's no one else
there. No one else there, right. So I sit for a minute, and then finally he returns and says, please tell me your order. So I say, milkshake. I don't know why that's all I said. I'll need a minute, he replies.
Really?
I'll need a minute, he replies. I realize I did not describe my desired milkshake in any way, so I yell, I need to tell you what kind. He is gone for several minutes. When he returns, he says flatly, we aren't going to be able to do the milkshake. I do have many apple pies.
What's happening?
Do not ask me why I did this, but the next words out of my mouth, Josh writes, are you okay? And then he says back from McDonald's, I am not okay. Would you please tell me your order so I can try to punch it in? It will be very slow, but I will get it. I tell him not to worry. I'm not upset. And at this point, for some reason, I order a chicken sandwich. My chicken sandwich order confuses him. Several minutes are spent repeating what I want on it, watching the screen as he tries over and over. At one point, I guess he gave up because the screen just went black for a while. I hear a deep exhale, and he says, dude, I lost my wife.
What?
What?
I'm sorry, man, I say. He says, please describe your chicken sandwich to me again so I can succeed at one thing. Anyway, he finally gets it and then says, I really do feel bad about the milkshake situation. Can I sell you an apple pie? I say, fine, I will buy an apple pie.
Just give me whatever you want to give me and let me get the F out of here.
He says, apple pies are cheaper than milkshakes anyway.
I say, okay, thanks.
Then there's a weird series of beeps and his voice comes back on and he is screaming into his headset, I found her. Thank God. I said, what? What did you find? He says, my wife, she was watching me from behind the boxes. What's going on in this McDonald's right now?
I'm terrified.
At this point, I have ordered a chicken sandwich I do not want and an apple pie I do not want and no milkshake. And I have been here for 22 minutes.
I believe it. Who makes that up?
That's so bizarre.
Can you give me my total, I say, because honestly, I don't know if I want to understand his marriage or even if I could. I just want to go.
I would have stayed there all night.
Would you have been riveted by this soap opera unfolding in front of you?
I would have asked to come inside with him.
So he says, there's more, by the way, if you want it. He says, your total is 8. Hold on. My wife is here and she wants me to tell you. She will give you 2 apple pies at a discount.
What's going on here?
two apple pies for only $2, you should take it. So I say, give me the extra pie. And she says, thank you. And I said, no problem. Why am I talking to his wife like this? Why? He types. So I pull around, and they are effing making out in the window. And he has his thumb out like he's aware I'll be driving up. Both of these people are in their mid-40s. They unstick themselves from one another, and I hand him my card. Sorry about this, he says. I haven't worked at McDonald's in 16 years. So the guy who's running the cash register at the drive-thru at the McDonald's doesn't work at McDonald's, used to, and that's why he's having so much trouble with the screens and with the order and knowing how everything works. I am then treated to a story about how they met at McDonald's that is very, very short story and really is only we met at McDonald's.
That's my favorite night of the year right there.
I don't understand.
I love that so much.
So it sounds like you guys are in?
Absolutely. Where is it?
It doesn't say where the McDonald's is, but I do think you need to you need to dedicate your life, Kevin, to finding this McDonald's and hoping that couple is on duty.
I need a shake and or an apple pie.
Hey! No.
Nope.
Again, no, it's not a fit, Chip. Nice try.
Nope.
She shoots and she scores as far as I'm concerned.
I felt like we did not have as much of David Anders from iZombie as I expected in the 8 o'clock
hour.
It was
real quick.
Well, I mean, we said it was going to be at 8:20 and 8:35, but that's because we lie.
Okay.
We're liars.
We understand that Mr. Anders is, in fact, now in the building.
Correct.
And will be joining us right after the top of the hour. First, though, in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Alec.
You guys, in case you missed it, I want to make sure you have this amazing news at your disposal. From noon to 8 o'clock, head on down to Ben and Jerry's. It is free cone day, Kevin.
Yay! Free cone day.
Free cone day. Not only do you get a free cone, you get a scoop of ice cream in it. You can finish it and then get back in line. There's no limit.
That's pretty
sweet. You just
can't
get a bunch at one time. You have to just keep going back in line. Kevin, it's free cone day. I don't understand why you're not as excited.
Well, I don't either.
And it's also National Grilled Cheese Day.
Right?
So how is this not your birthday today?
It's like National Kevin Day.
Because it is.
I'll tell you why. Because every day is ice cream day for me, and every day is grilled cheese for me. I had grilled cheese last night.
Oh, it's not special.
It's not special. It's just my life. I love it. I love it. But I don't need to drive anywhere else to get in line to have my life.
It might as well be tree and arrow day for you, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, all right.
I don't need to drive and get in line to have my life.
Right, that's what I do. And I eat it with my fingers, being like an American.
I use
a spoon
both.
For ice cream. Can't trust a cone, man. That could collapse at any minute, and then it's all over
it's
you.
It's a nightmare.
Got to use a spoon,
this
right?
This is insane. Hey, you guys, the CW is doing something very interesting. They are bringing back Mad TV 20 years after the original episode aired.
Was that needed?
What's happening?
Why?
Yeah, it's confusing, but they are going to have a bunch of the old cast members back as part of the celebration each episode. So they're going to have new cast and then bring back the old cast.
Now, who's famous from Mad TV? Was it Frank Caliendo on Mad TV?
Oh, Frank Caliendo, Will Sasso, Key and Peele.
Kim Peele.
Michael McDonald. Ike Barinholtz. Like, yeah.
Ike's coming in tomorrow, by the way.
Well, we can talk to him about this.
Okay.
Why?
Well, they're just bringing it back because it was actually, it was at that point when SNL was really dipping and
Mad TV came.
Well, really.
That 30-year point?
Started to dip. But then Mad TV came out and I think it had to up SNL's game. But Mad TV had some really funny stuff.
Wow. Why? Andrew Daly, Brian Callen, Alex Borstein was on it.
Yes.
I mean, you're right. Orlando Jones. They had a lot of good people. Terry Killam was on it, for God's sakes. Artie Lang.
I'm saying.
All right.
You're just shouting names now, B.
I know, but I'm just. I guess I didn't realize because I'm so much more aware of Saturday Night Live and how many people have come out of that, but I didn't realize people like Ari Spears used to be on Mad TV. That's pretty cool.
I don't know who any of those people are.
You know who a lot of them are. Come on. Something else that's happening, a little dip back into the past. We all know about the Degrassi shows, the kids of Degrassi Street, Degrassi Junior High, Degrassi High, Degrassi The Next Generation, which had 14 seasons on Teen Nick. Well, now a fifth series is in the works called Degrassi Next Class.
Why?
Going to be seen on Netflix. Great question, but kids love it. Producers tell Deadline there's a whole new cast
Why?
Except for the principal, played by Stefan Brogren.
Why?
Apparently he's the principal. I don't know. I guess they just wanted to really update it, have all new kids so you could all grow with Degrassi.
Why?
Well, it's a great question, but I think I've answered it 8 times, right?
Why?
You know what? Kevin, you're such a dick.
Pretty Why? Interesting.
It is really interesting.
Why?
Just
they're from Canada.
You know they are.
Why?
I believe they are. Hmm. It's in Toronto. So good pull on that.
Why? Why?
Would you answer his question?
Why? Why? Very few people actually remember. Why?
All right, moving along.
Why?
Ratings for...
I'm sorry, Allie, what?
I can't.
Why?
We've lost her.
Why?
She has a short attention span,
that's
why.
All these people were born on today, April 12th. Ed O'Neill is 70. Andy Garcia is 60. David Letterman is 69. Shannon Doherty is 45. Jennifer Morrison is 37. Claire Danes, also 37.
Why?
Disco lead singer Brendan Urie is 29. And actress Saoirse Ronan is 22. I'm Allie McKay.
Why?
Well, there he is. That's David Anders right there from TV's iZombie, ladies and gentlemen. Come on.
Curtsy.
How are you, sir?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Good, hope you slept well. Certainly got plenty of it.
Oh! That's your best shot, Bean?
I'm just saying, you look pretty well rested, like a guy who didn't get up early.
Throwing
tell you that.
Under the bus. Public transportation, gang.
I mean, I guess if you're a big-time TV star, you just roll in whenever you want to roll in. Like, that's how your life goes, right?
He has the same problem I have, which is that my alarm is set to Chopin.
My alarm is set to Chopin. It was hard to wake up. It's just so beautiful. It put me in a deeper mm-hmm. sleep.
That is a curious choice, Mr. Anders.
It's a beautiful choice.
Unless you want to get up. In which case, it's the wrong choice.
It's like my other choice is a GWAR song.
There you go. Something has to annoy you to make you open your
right.
eyes.
It's either Chopin or GWAR.
So you've been done filming the season for a while. We will get to see the season 2 finale tonight. 2 big episodes tonight on the CW starting at 8. So you've been off for a little bit of time?
Yeah, we wrapped March 15th. It was amazing because we got our third season pickup while we were still shooting the finale.
Oh, congratulations.
I found out on my birthday, March 11th, that we got the pickup. So
nice.
I was like, oh, hell of a birthday.
Yeah. Right.
I told my parents, I was like, you just keep your gifts. You ain't going to top that.
I mean,
stuff them, Mom.
Everything added up for my whole life doesn't top that.
But as an actor, and you've been doing this for a while now, for over 10 years, right? 15 years, something like that.
Yeah.
It still has to be, there has to be a part of you, and we hear this from lots of people, that wonders if you'll ever work again. So when somebody comes to you and say, hey, we're going to continue to pay you, that just has to make it all seem worthwhile. Like, I actually still get to do this for a living.
Yeah. Well, it's a rad thing getting paid to pretend. It's a fun thing. And, you know, I have J.J. Abrams to either thank or blame for only playing bad guys for my entire career. But it's proved to be fairly lucrative and
that's
and
a surprise
to
you. That's a surprise to you, isn't it, that you have been cast so many times as the bad guy?
Yeah. Well, no. It started. At least I'm playing Americans now. You know? Yeah, but it is a lot more fun playing the bad guy than the good guy. That, I have to say that because that's all I have to draw upon. Because
that's what I've heard.
Have I played a good guy?
Now, you made the reference to at least you're playing Americans now. That must have been a very weird time for you, David, because you became so well known on Alias as Sark with your accent that everybody thought you were British, right?
Yes.
So then they kept calling you in to read for other roles where you
yes.
would be British?
Yes, yes.
And they were so surprised that you weren't.
Yes.
You're from freaking Oregon.
Yeah, and it was always validating, when I could fool like the Americans, they're like, I thought you were English. It's like, fine, fine. But then when I fooled the real McCoys, that was like, oh, like someone from like Essex or something. It's like, did you grow up with my friend Nigel? I was like, no, I didn't. I absolutely did not.
Are you good with different accents and dialects?
No.
You, well, you're good with
no, for Alias, they had me audition with four different accents, not one of which was English. And JJ asked me on the first day, he said, it's going to be English. Is that going to be a problem?
And of course
I said, yeah.
You did? You said yes?
I said, it was a Bush League. This is Bush League move.
I'm out.
And I went back to the Gap in Beverly Hills and folded sweater wallets.
So how does one go about learning how to do a British accent? Did you get a teacher or did you just listen to a lot of tapes or watch movies? What did you do?
It's so funny. I went to this place in the valley called Fox and Hounds. I don't know.
Oh, sure.
Sure.
Yeah. And I would just sit with the blokes watching, like, rugby games that I absolutely love.
Watching the matches on the telly, were you?
Don't know anything about it. So I'd be like, oh, yeah. Oh, no, the pitch. Something like this. Oh, no, yeah, yeah. So where are you from? I'm from Essex. Did I say that right? Is it Wessex? What is it? So I learned from game-type experience. But then I had a coach on Alias for a couple episodes, and she called me Ducky, and she said, after two episodes, you bring me up here in rush hour from Santa Monica, and you're 95% there, Ducky. You don't need me. And I was like, I don't need you? Cool, cool. And then after I was like, okay, I guess I don't need you.
And then?
The words started meaning something. I feel like I've told you guys about this
no,
before.
You haven't. I mean, I'm
let's talk more about my American accent, damn it.
Right.
You nail it.
It's who I
is. You're on it.
It's who I is.
You got that one down if that's what you're saying.
We're just impressed, David. This is our way of saying we respect your craft.
Well, I respect,
that's what we're saying.
I respect you guys.
You're lying?
You're no, lying. I'm not lying.
You're lying right now. I can tell.
No, dice.
I can tell.
You guys have been it for me. Because you're the only radio station. It's either 91.5 or 106.7. That's on my dial.
91.5 is KUSC?
No, it's
not.
It's,
I thought that was the classical station.
It's a classical station. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But when I moved here in 99, mm-hmm. Kevin and Bean in the morning, you guys were my guys. And you know who you still are? My guys.
I'm applauding for myself right now.
You have been busy since the show wrapped season two, going to WonderCon and then EmeraldCon.
Yeah, I just got back.
What do you make of those conventions where you do meet the most hardcore of the iZombie fans? What's that like for you, David?
It's very cool because, you know, we're in the ether now. And, like, Rose was with me up in Seattle just last weekend and she...
I know, we tried to get her, but we could only get you.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's so harsh.
Wow. What? We were all having a good time.
Sorry. Seeing like all these little livs rolling around dressed up as her is kind of a fantastic thing to see.
Yeah.
It means we're out there, like enough people like us.
Are there any Blaines walking around?
Nice.
Yeah, there was one Blaine. and it was so amazing. It was a mother and son, and she was dressed up as Liv and he was dressed up as me with like the cooler and the brain, and that was fun.
What do fans tell you they want to see happen on iZombie?
Memories?
Like, do they have a preference?
They want memories.
Do they want you with Peyton? Do they want? What do they want?
Yeah. That is a thing that is in play heavily. Is this triangle between Blaine and Ravi and Peyton?
And well done, sir.
Oh, well, I appreciate you.
Well done.
I appreciate you. I had a terrible time. Doing
I just see you going into the writers every week, going, "Hey, what's going on with you know, with Blaine and Peyton? Can that happen? Is that a thing?"
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
They should have a lot of kids. They should be together forever, all the time.
You had Rachel Nichols on last week. When you have her,
yeah.
This is funny. You say this because she requested to the writers of the Alias Room that. Her character and my character had a love thing.
Oh.
No way.
And you know what happened?
Okay. So jealous.
Mama got her wish.
Wow. You're a baller. I would never, ever go through a day where I did not tell that story to someone if that had happened to me. That is fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely a delight to work with Ali Michalka and Raul Coley. So I'll rock this triangle for as long as they want us, which will be like another half season.
All right. Well, we have many other questions. The show is iZombie. Two-hour season two finale airs tonight at 8 on the CW. David Anders is here. We'll return in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Congratulations to Brendan Helstein from Laguna Hills. He just won tickets to go to Coachella. Weekend one from K-Rock, your next chance to win coming up at noon. In studio with us right now is actor David Anders from iZombie, season finale tonight on the CW, who is also going to Coachella this weekend.
I'll see you there, Brendan, winner.
How many you been to, you reckon, David?
I reckon this is going to be 9 or 10, one of those. Jeez.
All right, and what are your...
I'm 35. Grow up, David.
No, you're not too old for Coachella. Not at all.
Grow up.
What is your, what have you learned through all the years of going to Coachella? What's your approach going in? What your must-take items? How do you live that weekend?
I walk around with an IV.
Good.
So I'm hydrated from the inside, which is everybody's like, oh, is that a costume? No, it's this is serious. This is serious.
You need to stay alive.
At this point, I'm not getting there early. You know,
right?
We sit around our like pool around whatever house we're renting that weekend.
Mm-hmm. And you go with a bunch of friends.
And we have a team that we call Team Terrible Time, because we are terrible people and we're having a terrible time.
Oh, you have a theme song.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
So we'll wait until like about 4 or 5. Just when we're hitting that magic hour, mm-hmm. and we're not going to be, you know, so we don't die.
We're not going to be super sweaty or super hot.
Yeah. But you got a few beers in you, though, so yeah. You're ready for the weekend.
But do you have a plan? Because I found out that having a plan for me is worthless.
Yeah, in other words, mapping out who you want to see.
I need to see these people, and then I end up not seeing any of those
there,
people.
There are those.
That's part of the fun of it.
They're the acts that you, yeah, that's why you're there, you know.
Yeah, but then usually somebody goes, did you just see that? That was awesome. And I go, no, that's what I wanted to. Oh.
But that's the beauty of Coachella. When I first started going there, I went there specifically for Tool.
Right.
That was a one band. I'd never known of it, the festival at all. I didn't know how many acts were going to be there.
Okay, so you just knew Tool was there and that's all you needed.
And then walking by a stage, heard like awesome sounds. As you do when you walk by stages. And that's what Coachella is about. It's about discovery. Sure, you're there to see your hot acts that you love, that you've known and loved. But, you know, the discoveries are even more fun. Sometimes.
I agree with you. And you'll definitely walk away with 5 bands you didn't know that you're so excited you saw. My question for you, though, is what are your expectations, if any, for Guns N' Roses?
Here's the deal.
Taking into consideration you broke his foot.
Yeah, I text when I read that on like Deadspin or something like that, and I screen capped it, sent it to the Team Terrible Time, and I said it's already falling apart. but my friend Hayes, he went to the Vegas show, and Dave
they played two nights, right?
Yeah, Dave Grohl sent his Round. Throne that he was using when he broke his leg
right
to him, and here's the deal. It was an amazing show, says Hayes. Says Hayes, but you know Hayes.
I can't
sure,
believe
Hayes. Please, I wouldn't believe a word.
Hayes, you know so Hayes. It's Hayes. Like blah 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 blah. It's like just talking a lot. Yeah. He's a lawyer. A lot of lies.
You let a lawyer into the Terrible Time crew?
No.
It's probably important.
But here's the deal. He said it was an amazing show, and I was like, I bet because I heard the Troop show. Axl didn't have his breath. He was trying to do the stomp and stomp and stomp and from like the mid 90s, but it's like Daddy doesn't have his breath anymore. And so throwing him up, and he can.
So you think that since the Troop show, he's going to have it?
Well, because he's not running around anymore. He's sitting now.
Because he's sitting, he's going to have his breath.
Hey,
Daddy's
hey.
Going to have his breath.
Axel. Grab a knee. Actually, grab a throne. Sing us some tunes.
So maybe he didn't break his foot. Maybe he was just really tired and didn't feel like doing the stage show.
Maybe this all is
total fake.
Yep. Yeah, it's a
total I can't fake. Move that much. I'm going to die, guys.
I'm not signing that cast. It's a fake cast.
That's right. Well, have a great time, David. That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to it.
Let's talk a little bit before we have to say goodbye about tonight's two-hour season finale. Now, this is, we've heard much leading up to this. Obviously, there are a bunch of plot threads that we're looking forward to being resolved, but this is the other Rob Thomas shows up tonight, right?
Yes.
The Matchbox 20 guy.
The other Rob.
And that is literally just because he has the same name as the producer and creator of the show, right?
We call our, you know, there's two Rob Thomases. We call our Rob Hot Rob, and we call the other Rob, not Rob.
Okay.
we've literally just been saying that for like seconds.
How did he get on the show?
I think it was a Twitter thing where you know our Rob Thomas would get some weird Twitter fan mail saying like, "Oh, else forget about it," and like Rob would be like, "That's not me." Rob's Twitter like bio says, "Not the singer, the Veronica Mars guy." But here's the great thing is Matchbox 20 Rob is a huge, huge iZombie fan.
Like just by coincidence.
He knows more than like I do about the show,
really?
Frankly. And so it was a thrill for him to come on and do this part. And it's going to be fun to see. He had a great time from what I hear. He sings.
Like he does.
He may or may not die.
Oh.
Like some do.
That's going to make a lot of people happy.
Like some do.
Like some do. Especially on your show. So there's two episodes tonight, correct?
Two episodes. Two big hours. We set a big bar last year. I don't know why our Rob Thomas, Hot Rob.
Hot Rob, sure.
He decided, like, our finale's got to be really action-packed. And so this finale falls in line with that too, and it raises the bar even higher.
There are very few shows where you tell me there's going to be 2 hours on, and I don't go, yeah. Oh, really? Because that's a long, that's a lot.
That's a lot of
well, this is one of them though that I'm excited about. Give me 3 hours.
It's like 86 minutes.
All right.
Wait, yeah. If Rob
you
Thomas
account for
dies,
commercials.
Right.
Does
yes, Ellie,
Rose
go ahead.
Then become the lead singer of Matchbox 20 to solve the crime?
Or else forget about it.
Right? God, I'm so in.
Is it fun for you, David? Because
actually, I don't even know if he dies. I'm just assuming.
You just put that out there.
Just making it up.
I'm just assuming.
Is it fun for you that sometimes, this isn't much of a spoiler alert, I guess, but sometimes Blaine is a zombie and sometimes he's not, depending on the availability of the cure around. And you play them differently. So is it kind of cool for you as an actor to play the same character but two different ways based on the episode?
It's a new sweet tender Blaine, and like you kind of feel bad for the kid.
Yeah,
he's actually
a nice guy when he's not a zombie.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, why can't he remember that he killed so many teenagers? Why can't he hold on to those memories?
Those sweet, sweet memories.
Man, those sweet, sweet memories. They made him who he is. Yeah. It's I do miss the smarm and the charm of regular Blaine, which is so much fun.
How is old man Blaine to play?
Old Manders?
Yeah.
Old Manders.
When you play the old man Blaine, when they put you up when you were doing the prank
Manders
on your dad.
Say old Manders.
Old Manders.
Yeah.
He literally hates saying that because you know what? Because it's a little bit of fun and Bean does not like fun.
I got no time for your nonsense, Anders.
Clean Bean. Clean it up. Clean Bean.
So they aged you to look, 75 or something like that.
Yeah. It was 5 hours to get into that stuff. And it seemed like it was 5 hours getting out of it. And we had our break, our Christmas break right after that. And I went to a facialist esthetician in Portland. Go Ducks. go Blazers. We're in the playoffs somehow.
Go Laker.
Oh. I'm just going to go completely tangential and just keep talking sports. Sports. No, I'm not. I went to a facialist and she was like, "I've never seen anything like this." From what that old man crap.
Oh, because they had to rip all that stuff off
my
face. Yeah.
And I was like, I know, right? It's bad.
Old Manders ripped up your face.
Old Manders.
Old Manders.
That's some BS.
All over his face.
Old Manders.
All right. David Anders, tell us about his facials on the Kevin and Bean Show. We are out of time. 2-hour season 2 finale is tonight at 8 on the CW. Congratulations once again on already being picked up for another season, dude. That is awesome.
Thank you so much. We're fired
up. Come back
up about
and see
it.
Us anytime. It's always a lot of fun. Thank you.
Can I be late?
Sure.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:41.
Anyway, got some doll skin for you.
Nope.
Ring me out. Not ring, but, you know, like you're ringing something out.
What?
Ring it out.
Uh-huh.
Right. Ring me out.
Ring like
me out.
Like a ShamWow.
But I'll be back right after this. Getting tired.
Oh, you're getting tired. We'll let you go.
Who mentions that?
We'll let you go lay down,
Rodney. Let everybody know I'm getting tired.
What is wrong with you, Rodney?
Who says that out loud?
Bean, come on.
Yeah, okay. Bean.
You come on, Bean.
Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat. In for Ralph Garman, here's Allie McKay.
I want to make very clear.
Yes.
That today.
Yes.
Is Free Cone Day at Ben & Jerry's.
Well, you haven't mentioned that yet.
I have mentioned it twice, but let me tell you, I was not aware of this for the earlier hours, and I feel like I let them down.
Okay.
So if you know someone right now that's in need of a free cone, you can start lining up noon to 8 o'clock. Any Ben & Jerry's, go in, get a free cone. There's no limit to how many cones you can get, but you just can't get multiples at one time. Have your cone, get back in line.
Muggs is going to be there from noon till 8.
I support him.
Just going right back around in a circle.
Absolutely.
But it's hard to say no to free ice cream. I mean, even if you've just had ice cream, if somebody offers you more ice cream, you're inclined to say yes.
Absolutely. Does it always fall on National Grilled Cheese Day, or is today just really like
today's
a special day?
Today's just the best day ever.
Yes.
Hey, Allie, you've mentioned in the past that you are lactose intolerant, which is just another thing that makes you sexy.
Thank you.
Is there a substitute for people like you for ice cream?
Yeah, you can have like sorbet or something like that. It just doesn't, right? Right?
That is a weak-ass substitute for ice
worst.
Cream.
Some no, vegan, like vegan ice creams, that type of thing
it's
you
better
can
than
do.
Nothing, though.
It is, but I say you know what's going to happen.
Right.
So if you're home, take the chance.
Okay.
I mean, that's how good ice cream is. Like, you're home, make it so.
So today would be the ultimate, like, you'd destroy your bathroom today. If it were National Grilled Cheese Day and Free Cone Day on the same day and you're lactose intolerant, this is like your Hiroshima, right?
Yes, Bean.
Yes, this is like her Hiroshima.
That's exactly what it is.
Is that another Mr.
No,
Bad example?
That's a great example.
Horrible.
That's very good.
Dude, this is a new level for the Muggs. This is a mess.
That's tonight at 10.
Yeah, I want to find
out. We're all just people.
We are all just people. That's so true. I just want to find out how many scoops he has. I say 14.
You think he's going to have 14? You can only get one at a time, but will he work his way around that? You know?
Yeah.
Slip the guy a one spot?
Oh, not so. One spot?
I'm a big tipper. You can tell.
I can tell. A whole one
Dude,
spot.
Dude, this is a new level for the Muggs. This is a mess.
He's going to be covered in ice cream in the parking lot. It's going to be ugly.
I like it. Yeah. I like it a lot. We've been talking about this all morning, but a big brouhaha, if you will. A trial is scheduled for May 10th.
What if we won't? We will. Okay, we will.
In a decision on Friday, U.S. District Judge Gary Klausner in Los Angeles said Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin and the 1967 instrumental Taurus by the band Spirit were similar enough to let a jury decide whether Plant and Page were liable for copyright infringement. So this song came out in 1967, and then in 1971, Stairway to Heaven came out.
Oh. Guilty, 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 guilty. Guilty.
They sound very similar.
Guilty, 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 guilty.
But then you take into account that this band was on tour with Led Zeppelin a few years before. So
guilty.
They, right? They could have heard it
guilty.
And then, yep, subliminally. Subliminally, they wrote it not thinking we were ripping them off. But I'm going to let you and your ear holes figure it out. Here is Led Zeppelin's classic Stairway to Heaven.
Kevin, do you listen to this when it comes on the radio?
Probably half of it.
Okay. So like 24 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, and now this is the 1967 instrumental Taurus by the band Spirit.
It doesn't sound anything alike at all.
See, that wasn't it.
No. That would be the same song.
It's very similar.
That is another way of saying guilty.
That's right.
So, that's not good. And you were saying, Bean, that it's not like this their first rodeo with copyright infringement, right?
Yeah, they were kind of guilty of reworking some classic blues songs on their early albums. And
sons
not
of bitches.
Exactly crediting the original songwriters. So that's going to probably play against them in this case, whether they consciously did it or not this time around.
I like that you said reworking.
Yeah. Right.
They stole it. Yeah. Good stuff.
Why?
It's true, Rodney. I can't explain why people do things, but hey, they had a huge hit. It's probably one of the most well-known songs in history. The Hollywood Vampires. You know that band. Johnny Depp, Alice Cooper, Joe Perry. They're hitting the road. They're going to do 18 shows in North America this summer. The tour begins May 24th in Verona, New York, and wraps up July 25th in Paso Robles, California. You want to know who else is joining them?
Who else is joining them?
Bass player Robert DeLeo.
No kidding.
Yes, we love him. And since Matt Sorum apparently is not going to be playing with Guns N' Roses, he will be the drummer.
All right. That's a pretty good rhythm section right there.
I do not hate that at all. Cool. And
Dustin. Were you expecting for some help?
A little bit.
Okay. We don't hate that either, Allie.
Cool. Awesome. Dustin Screech Diamond has just got sprung from jail a month early due to his handiwork with a mop and a bucket. He apparently was so good at cleaning, so good at other things in jail, that they are letting him knock a month off his sentence. He, of course, was convicted for stabbing a man during a bar fight back on Christmas in 2014.
It's a beautiful story.
I know. So remember,
what
he was the
Christmas
one
day
that stabbed somebody. But
right.
You might...
I don't, what?
Somebody
because
got
I
confused.
Thought, no,
with the,
I always knew.
I'm not sure you did.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Then you got Vanilla Ice on the loose. He's got a knife. But he's running. He's going to stab people. Because he
stabbed people.
Hold on a sec. What's Kevin talking about?
No, Vanilla let's find out. Let's
on the loose with a knife?
More.
Why is Vanilla Ice going to stab people?
Nope.
No, he stole some stuff.
He stole like a pool heater and a couch and stuff out of a vacant house.
What are you talking about, Kevin?
I was thinking of Screech.
You were thinking of Screech? You were confusing Vanilla Ice.
Not even a singer.
With the guy from Saved by the Bell?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Did I think that it would get out of it if I said...
Screech.
Real low like that?
Yeah, that we would then just be like, oh, okay. He meant that the whole time. Everything's fine. So to reiterate, who just got out of jail?
The guy that stabbed somebody on Christmas Day.
Who is?
Vanilla Screech.
Kevin, goddamn it.
It's true, robot man. It is true. And Megan Fox, who, yes, is a lovely, beautiful woman, she filed for divorce after 5 years of marriage last August from her husband, Brian Austin Green. So it was kind of unexpected that on the red carpet yesterday at CinemaCon in Las Vegas, promoting her new movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Out of the Shadows, she's pregnant. Got a little baby bump and everything right there on the red carpet. So she spoke with people about what it was like to film the latest movie pregnant. So she's confirmed it. And we assume it's her estranged husband, Brian Austin Green. That would be their third child together.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
That's a
great
question.
That was Dave's interview with Megan Fox.
Wow. That is some good stuff. A lot of birthdays today. All of these stars were born on today, April the 12th. Actor Ed O'Neill is 70. Andy Garcia is 60. David Letterman, 69. Shannen Doherty, 45. Coldplay bassist Guy Berryman is 38. Actress Jennifer Morrison, 37. Also 37, Claire Danes. Panic at the Disco singer Brendan Urie is 29. And actress Saoirse Ronan Ronan.
Ronan, sure.
It's 22. How do you nail Saoirse and you don't get Ronan?
Right?
I'm Ally McCain for Avgar and Walker.
Thank you, Ally. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, Ike Barnholtz is here from the Mindy Project. We also have Gabriel Iglesias in studio tomorrow. Love him so much. We have tickets for Coachella. We have tickets for the Clippers in the playoffs. And we have tickets for the final ever home Kobe Bryant basketball game. And we're going to be looking for your Kobe Bryant haikus.
What?
Yep. That's happening tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.